Radio FUBAR. Radio f***ed up beyond all recognition. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the new greatest thing on the internet, Studio FUBAR.
Does internet porn know you're cheating on it?
With your hosts, the loud one, Matt Reaver.
His mind brain is permanently rejecting his real identity!
Peter Johnson.
I love that I have an erection that didn't involve homeless people.
But for obvious reasons, we call him Pete. Mr. Producer.
I'm spooning a Barrett 50 cal. I could kill a building.
And the only person who can put up with all of this, Mr. Producer's wife, Tink.
Oh, it's like my heart's being gripped by the icy fingers of some terrifying ghost of honeymoon future.
Oh, another weekend, another Radio FUBAR, Studio FUBAR, whatever we're calling it this week.
We're here.
We're here, yeah, we're back. And let's bring on our monthly visitor, Game On Girl.
He says that every single time.
It's appropriate.
He just likes it.
It's appropriate. Like it. They're here once a month. They're our monthly visitors.
Yeah.
Double entendre, fully intended.
Oh, okay. That's what I wanted to make sure.
Our monthly visitors, Aunt Flo and Dot.
I just was making sure. No. I was making sure that you were aware of what you were saying. That's it. As long as you're aware,
you honestly
I'm completely
didn't
okay.
Think I was aware of that?
Right, really? Like you didn't know. Come on.
And it's a great segue, considering we're going to talk about it today.
Possibly. Matt, I don't know if Matt saw the list.
Nope.
He never checks his email.
Well, I check my email. I'm busy doing other things now. I drive for Uber and shit like that. So.
Oh yeah, he's an
Uber mensch, literally.
An Uber. Yeah, okay. Well,
I always appreciate like now.
It's enough to pay. He bought a new car.
Yeah.
He's doing it to meet his Nietzsche's.
Well, yep. A new to him car.
Yeah.
It's a couple years old.
Yeah.
Nice little.
Volkswagen Jetta.
Yeah.
Wow, awesome.
So now he's driving for Uber on Friday and Saturday nights during the bar rush to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matter of fact, tell Pete and the girls what you were saying when you walked in here about...
Oh, I decided I was going to come over here right around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so I was like, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn on Uber and then I'm going to turn on the mileage tracking app that I have so I can keep track of the miles so I get... the tax deduction for coming over here. And I wasn't saying, and then I was like, well, I've got 2 hours. If I get a fare between where I'm at and Frank's house, then I'll just go pick them up. And then I ended up doing 3 trips and I was 15.
Wow.
I was almost late.
So yeah. So that's it. Regina's had a lot going on.
I have had a lot going on.
Yeah. You're still in a hotel. Where are you at?
I'm in Seaside, Oregon right now.
Good Lord.
I'm assuming that's somewhere near the ocean. Actually, no, the way they are in Oregon, I figure that's actually probably over on the east side, right by the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not quite that backwards here.
What's
no, I'm right on... I'm at the Oregon coast with a friend of mine invited me at the last minute to come get away and... We managed to happen on a sunny day in March on the Oregon coast, which sunny days in like June or July or August are hard to come by on the Oregon coast. So.
Kind of like Seattle light down there, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like going a day in Florida where it doesn't rain. That just doesn't
exactly.
happen.
Yeah, it's going to rain in the afternoon. It's
I hate going to Oregon. And one of my kids always dies of dysentery and bear attacks. And I mean, I buy plenty of ammo, but then I can't haul the meat back to the wagon. And my wife died of a snake bite and
gangrene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that got little Timmy.
Yeah. I remember playing that game.
Oregon Trail was so fun. I'm glad it spoke to all of us. Like, please don't fall dead. Okay. You died of dysentery. Well, great, great.
That actually,
the old West.
That actually might have been after Rhonda's time.
Hey.
Hey, wow. Hey.
That's ageism.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. I'm glad we're not all in person, because I'm sure she would have kicked you under the table.
She'd have slapped you right in the face.
Well, yeah. I've been lucky if I kicked him.
I know. I've seen you in action.
I'm just saying, because they weren't quite beating rocks together when Rhonda was getting into the computers. But,
wow.
But
damn.
I know. I know what it was. I know what computers were like when I first got into them, and she's been doing it longer than I have. So I don't even know if the computers when she got into it would have even supported Oregon Trail.
Tell Sherlock Holmes to knock it off.
What's that? Did you hear that? Sorry, that was the door outside. So I'm in a hotel room, so I cannot take control of sounds outside the room.
No. You just have to deal with the comments, the commentary that happens.
You know what you should do?
I knew he was going to go there. I totally opened it
you
up
should
for
be
that.
That person and cook like curry or something in your hotel room and just drive the rest of the place nuts and then play like some bizarre music from Morocco. Just annoy the crap out of them. What is that smell? What are you cooking? That okra? What is that?
Anyway, I had an interesting job offer last weekend. Buddy of mine's like, hey, man.
To cook curry in a hotel room?
No.
What, really?
No. Complete change of topic.
But you should cue the porno music again.
No. A friend of mine that I went to high school with says, hey, man, do you still do web stuff and all that? You know, I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, the company I'm working for is looking for an IT guy. And I'm like, all of my certifications are at least 10 years old.
Yeah.
He goes, well, one of the big things they want is, you know, SQL, C++, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, the last time I worked with SQL on a coding level was Windows NT.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So...
Well, you want to talk about rocks hitting together.
Yeah, yeah. You ain't kidding. Yeah, I was going to say, he's talking about ancient technology over there.
Yeah, I mean, what is that, like 5 distros ago on the server side?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So what are you doing right now?
Driving a truck.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Noble profession.
Hey, if it wasn't for truck drivers, you wouldn't get your toilet paper and beer. And
that's right.
I never once bitch about truck drivers, man.
Until you're on the highway and you go, you goddamn truck, get out of my way.
No.
If they nearly kill me, yeah.
Yes. That's it.
Because he's swerving all over the road. Yeah. It's like, okay, you know, slow down a bit, but
yeah.
Hey, there's stupid truck drivers just like the stupid four-wheelers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
They're stupid everybody's.
Yes.
Right.
That's the quote.
I'm talking about people that should have
just the summation of the world.
Right. I'm talking about people that should have no business behind the wheel. Now there are less stupid truck drivers just because the requirements are more difficult.
Right.
Yeah. But I believe that.
But occasionally you run into one of them. Most of them drive for Swift, so stay away from them.
Or Schneider.
Or Schneider, yeah. The reason we say that is because those are the two largest companies, and they're always looking for drivers, so they'll pull anybody off the street, give them a couple of weeks of training, and stick them in a truck.
Yeah. You
know. Old Dominion.
Not anymore. Yeah, not anymore.
Oh, okay. I think we've talked about this before, because all of my... all the men on my mom's side of the family drive trucks or drove trucks.
No, I didn't know that. This either I was drunk when you talked about that, or
I don't remember that. So.
Okay, so well, that doesn't that doesn't negate the statement.
it's a very rough job. My grandfather, he drove a truck for his entire life, mostly. And then two of his sons drove trucks. And One of them was killed in a gasoline truck.
Oh, shit.
One was killed in a truck accident.
What was the gasoline truck guy? Was his handle Rubber Duck?
No, I don't think back then they had handles. I don't think that they had. That was a long time ago.
I was trying to make a joke about an old movie.
Oh.
Remember Convoy?
Oh, yeah. God, it's been a while since I've seen that movie.
His gasoline truck blew up on the bridge.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't get it. Anyway.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to because I think like eight people
saw that movie. Yeah.
It was a movie that they wrote based off of a song.
Yeah.
You know, we think it's bad now where they're making movies out of video games and stuff like that. Literally, a guy wrote a song. C.W. McCall wrote a song called Convoy.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, we can make a movie out of that.
And it was also, he wrote the song after the massive truck driver strike.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That happened like 3 years before the song came out.
Right. I mean, at least in a video game movie, there's backstory you can go to. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, this movie, they literally said, hey, here's a really cool song. It's about truck drivers that decide to make a convoy. And the stick of the song is that the guy talking on the radio during the song is telling the pig hauler to keep backing up because he stinks. Have you heard the song?
Yeah.
Probably been a while.
It's been a while, yeah. It's not one that they usually play, and especially with me having Sirius XM. I don't listen to that crap.
Sorry about your relative dying in a gasoline fire.
Hey. Yeah. We were getting to that.
That's a tragedy.
My uncle
it was.
My uncle died in a truck accident too, so it wasn't a gas hauler. He was hauling gas, but it was the cylinders, you know, not a fuel tanker. And the funny thing is that they have no idea how it happened. You know, the eyewitnesses said he was just driving down the road and all of a sudden just swerved hard left and went in the ditch, rolled, and
wow.
But, you know, they did the autopsy on him. They didn't find anything abnormal. They did the stuff on the truck, you know, to see if something broke, or didn't find anything abnormal.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm like, okay, me personally knowing my uncle, he probably dropped a cigarette in his lap. And went, oh, shit.
It doesn't take much. No. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
A split second, and you have no idea.
No, it doesn't. You know, it does take, constant attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those jobs that you can let up for a minute and.
Yeah.
No.
No, this is the song. I don't know if you guys will be able to hear it.
Ah, Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, love machine. Oh, 10.
And just so you know, no, we don't talk like this anymore on the CD. My dad did.
Yeah, we definitely got us the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
It's a silly song.
It is.
Arizona, noon on the 7th of June, when they highballed over the pass. Bulldog Mac with a can on back and a Jaguar hauling ass. He's 10 on the floor, stroking bores, seat cover starting the game. Now Beaver, you trucking with a rubber duck. And
whenever I hear songs like this, I can only hear Hank Williams III.
Right. But no. Like I said, what the best things about this song are the CB breaks that they do. Let's see, I don't know if this, they're actually showing the intro to the movie. Let's see, here we go.
A breaker, Big Ben, this here's Jeff again, and you want back off of them go-go girls? 10, Roger, about 5 miles. Oh, yeah, them hogs are getting intense up here.
But see, we don't even talk like this.
No.
He's using all kinds of verbiage that I remember my dad using on the CB when I used to go with him in the truck. But this is back in the deregulated truck days where everybody was owner operators.
Yeah.
There was no large companies. You might work for a company, but you were an owner operator working for the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is actually almost pre-interstate. They were still working on the interstate. You imagine driving trucks in the 40s and 50s before before the interstate, to just driving two lanes the whole way?
Yeah, no. I would think that truck driving came around the same times as the interstate because it made shit cheaper.
No, they've been doing that shit since the 30s.
Wow.
20s, actually.
Yeah.
I got to pull up my... One of you girls got the topic list up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure do.
Because I know the first thing we got to talk about...
What I do.
The first thing I remember we got to talk about is you guys have an announcement.
Kind of.
Oh. Yeah.
We have a tease, yeah.
A tease? Uh-oh.
Yes.
Stop.
Yeah.
Game well, we girl. Were
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. I was just gonna say we were hoping it was gonna be like the big announcement today, but we've had some technical difficulties, and so that's put us a little further behind schedule.
What do you mean the big announcement today? Like you were gonna do it today?
We were gonna do a big announcement that we hadn't told you anything about that we were gonna do on your show today. And we can only tease about it now.
Go ahead and tease.
No.
I don't, like, there has to be some sort of punchline in here because this is Radio FUBAR. There can't not be a punchline.
Yeah. You just got to give Frank a minute.
I'm glad you chose our show because all three people will hear about it. There's a punchline.
Well, considering we have no idea what you're about to do, and the only thing that comes into my mind is...
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what Game On Girl's all about. We're straight from gender feminism issues to YouTube porn videos. That's what we're doing.
No. Cheap porn, that's where we're going. It's where all the money's at in the internet, right?
I'm live tweeting this, Regina.
Please sign up to my YouTube channel. I want to beat Regina with her housekeeping porn. I'm going to do comic book porn, and I just think that's so much better.
Housekeeping porn. I mean, I gotta say that
you guys
gotta
have never
be an
seen Desperate Housewives.
It's gotta be an untapped market.
I have not watched Desperate Housewives because of
do
that.
Do you want
exact-
me to clean its rug? Watch me clean its rug. Oh, the shampoo. Get the foam in deep.
What the fuck?
What did we do? Someone take that
porn
music
Game
off
of
soundbar.
Has been around since, 2012?
Well, it was actually before that, but the podcast started in 2012, yes.
Yeah. And we're getting ready to make a rebranding and... not going to change a lot. It actually is going to grow a little bit, and it's very, very exciting because I think it'll introduce us into a nice niche market, and we'll still be very, very involved in the same topics that we're involved in, but we like the direction of the definition that it's going to go. So it should come about within a couple of weeks.
So what way is it going to go?
They can't tell us that.
That's I'm trying to figure out the technical difficulties that's keeping them from.
Oh, we had to move our website. It's the technical difficulties are with the website. We had a major snafu with moving the website over.
Oh,
and. Yeah. We're having to clean it up. I mean, it's just a pain in the ass.
And it's huge. It's everything.
Oh, it's huge. It messed
everything the site got pooched. So,
I know that I'm having the exact same problem with my Uniform Labs account for.
Yeah.
Can't say huge. You got to say huge.
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 It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
I'm trying to figure out what else you would be doing. I mean, you're already doing videos. You're already doing the podcast. Well, you're not doing the podcast anymore.
They can't tell us, Frank.
Well, the key word was rebranding.
They're changing the name.
He missed that.
Oh, yeah.
They're changing the name and keeping the same format, but introducing additional portions.
No, you're so smart and listener. And
I'm a customer service representative by trade, so I have to listen to people in my ear.
You're good at your job.
Yeah.
I was upstairs getting some liquid communications assistance.
Yes.
So as a customer service operator, do you answer the phone and say, "Hello, my name is Steve. How may I help you?"
Depends. I asked him that, and he said they wouldn't let him do that.
I get yelled at for doing crap like that.
That's not what the trainers told me there. they said you can do an accent as long as you can maintain it the entire call.
Yeah, they told me that too, and I was just like, then I asked my supervisor, and they're like, no, don't ever do that. I was like, okay.
See, I'd screw with them even more. I'd pull up a Canadian accent. It goes, yeah, hey, my name is...
A British accent. Everybody loves talking to British people.
Yes, that's true.
I will be honest. Whenever I get a Brit on the phone, I always want. It's immediately like I got to ask you a bunch of different questions. Like, where are you from? What are you that like? Yeah. What's it like?
It's racist.
I don't care.
Well, it's also their demeanor and the way they handle things, because we had a lot of flight connection problems when we were in London. And when we would go to the ticket counter and they were helping us out, it was impossible to be angry with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were so nice and they're
so polite.
And it's like, you know, it was just, you walked away and you were like, God, I was so pissed when I walked up there, but now I'm calm and
I feel like having a cup of tea.
Yeah.
That's because you haven't talked to Damien yet.
Yeah, you haven't talked to Damien yet.
Talk to Damien, you'll be like, oh, there it is.
That's the angry punk rock side of it.
The fog, when we landed, the fog was so bad that at the airport they grounded all the planes, and they said, okay, you have to go to another there is an airport that's letting flights take off, but you've got to take a bus out there. So they were sending all of us outside to these transit bus operators, and these poor bus operators were just getting flooded all of a sudden with all these people. And I stood by and I was observing, and I was noticing that this big burly bus driver was taking the luggage from all of the men. And it was just, it was a girls' trip. There were three of us, and we were just standing there, of course, being polite. And I'm like, okay, we've got to show up to the front of the line and just hand this guy our bags. That's how everybody else is doing it. This is what we got to do. So I shoved forward, I handed him my bag, and I said, do you have room to take three more? And he said, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I don't know. I don't know how many people I can get on here. I was like, oh, he's so nice. It was like, you don't look like a big burly guy who's stressed out trying to handle a bunch of people. It was really funny.
Damn stereotypes, I swear.
I know. But wasn't a stereotype. I mean, that's exactly what happened.
I know, but I mean, the stereotype, you know, when you said it's impossible to be angry with English people because of their accent, I'm like, you know, it's the stereotype. All English people are so nice because they talk.
That's because they don't raise their voice and they're courteous.
Cultural.
The nice thing about when they get angry, they don't raise their voice. They can say the most vilest things.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened, you ever got bored and listened to, like, Parliament argue?
I am never that bored.
No,
I was just going to say, I have lots to do.
The way British people insult you, it's actually kind of screwed up, because they just, you know, phrase it as a question to you. Like, you're rather dull, aren't you?
No, I'm not dumb. Stupid. Dummy, I hate this country.
Well, all I can say is that Game On Girl, since 2012, has met so many amazing people in the geek community. We've run into so many cool geeks and geek professionals and people who don't know whether or not they're geeks for real and are afraid to call themselves geeks because they're not sure if they qualify and just amazing talented people, and we want to leverage that kind of thing.
Yeah,
we still are very, very centered on the community and letting the community have a voice. That's what Game On Girl did, was to give gamers a voice. And we want to continue doing the same thing. It's just that we see how big the community is.
Well, our interests individually, like the writers and the staff of Game On Girl, have grown. And the site and the community that we're building is growing as well. Yeah. And so the rebranding that we're doing is a reflection of the growth that's been going on, you know, even while Rhonda and I were doing the podcast. I mean, half the time the podcast wasn't about gaming. It was about other things. Right. And so we're tapping into that broader umbrella instead of being quite so pinned into gender and gaming, because that was, you know, like you guys know, it came from my writing, it came from the dissertation, that's the place I came from.
That's what I was just going to ask. When you were sitting there writing this paper, did you imagine yourself saying the staff of Game On Girl?
No. I mean, that wasn't even like, you know, an idea. You know, it was just, it was completely organic. And I want this to have that same kind of feel where it grows out of the interest that we see in it. And that's how we got more writers, and that's how we got staff, and we got people interested in writing about the things that they're interested in writing about.
I was going to ask, how many people do you have involved right now?
We have about 6 right now, total.
Is
for Game On Girl.
The,
so.
Dang, they beat us.
Your intern or whatever. No, the only reason
Isabella.
That is because, yeah.
Yes, our fearless intern and herder of cats.
Herder of cats.
Yes.
Favorite phrase. That's my favorite.
Yeah, knows. He yelled. Yeah, Pete yelled at us when he was raid leading. He'd be like, "Hey, you heard a cat? Move over here."
Come on, move. Oh, I love that.
You're at a position. We need to start from this position. Get up.
All right.
Really, Isabella is the grunt work. Like I say, okay, I don't have time to research this. Can you please figure this out for
Does
me?
Does she not have a life?
Oh, she has a life. Yeah, she is
young.
She's just young, and she stays up late at night. Okay. She's in that stage of life.
Oh, she's still she's still young enough.
You don't need as much sleep.
I was going to say, yeah, she can still function on 2 hours of sleep. Yeah,
right. So she can stay up researching stuff for Game On Girl until 1 o'clock in the morning and go to sleep and still make it to work and function the next day. Whereas, you know, that's just not where we're at.
No, I feel like you missed a chance. Like, does she have a life? And you're like, of course she does. It's my show. Duh.
Yeah, nobody that works behind the scenes of any relatively popular website or podcast or anything has a life.
No, I don't know. I think we all have our interests. Like Isabella is a roller girl. Roller derby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She does roller derby. Oh, and that's so all I'm going to say.
For some reason, when I pictured Isabella, I was thinking like 5'1", like 90 pounds.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah, she's going to make a great jammer someday. She is. The jammers are the ones.
I know what that is.
I know. They're the ones that score the points.
Yes.
Yeah. They have the star in their hats.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They're the ones that score the points. And they have to maneuver through everybody. And eventually she's just going to be, because she's going to be little and hard to catch.
Right. This is one of those deals where age actually does come into the factor here, because you guys have seen roller derby on the internet or
on
TV.
It was on the movie.
They made a
roller
movie
derby
about it. Regina, have you ever actually been to an actual?
Oh yeah.
You remember when we were kids? Roller derby.
When it
was
on the
big.
Banks tracks.
Yes.
Yeah.
When they would, you know, you just, hey, come on down to the roller rink this weekend. We're gonna have a roller derby tournament. And
yeah, those women were hardcore, man. I mean, not that they're not hardcore now, but the tracks, like most of the derby these days is called flat track derby.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on rubber flat tracks, like back, you know, 30 or 40, 30 years ago, 35 years ago or whatever, they were on banked tracks. Uh-huh. And so banked wood tracks. And it was like they went really fast. They don't. It's a little different now, but they would literally throw each other
yeah. off.
And they still do. Like, they still do that. The first year I went to, I started going to the Portland Derby, and they're actually the world champion right now. Rose City Rollers was the world champion last year, flat track derby. But the first year I went, I started following them on Facebook, and one of the skaters, like, full-on had her jaw broken during a bout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. this is not, you know... your friendly little, you know, run around the track with each other.
You get elbowed in the face and stuff like that.
Oh my God. The bruises that they get, like these gigantic bruises down the sides of their legs that are like, you know, 10 inches long from rolling on the, oh my God.
It's the first time in my life I've ever been told I'm not woman enough, because the first time I went to a roller derby, match, they were doing, I'm like, this looks fun as hell. You get to beat the living piss out of each other.
Yep.
On roller skates.
Yep.
I want to do this. And they said, you're not woman enough.
Yeah, they have men's now. They have men's flat track.
But they didn't when we were growing up. It was just women.
Yeah.
You know,
I've just noticed they stopped giving out like the, I don't want to say weird names, but now all the names, like the nicknames they give them are like Speed Demon and Baller Girl and stuff like that. Like they give them like Vixen.
I don't know,
and all
some
this.
Of the names, but maybe it was just Portland, but some of the names in Portland were really racy.
They were here too. I mean,
no, they had beefier names here, dude. They had like had Wanda the Tenderizer Gromowski and stuff like that. Scary names.
We had a lady here called, it was I don't remember her first name, you know, like the Michelle or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was the Vaginal Assassin.
Vaginal?
Yeah.
Well.
And I was like, what?
There's
wow. Right and fast as wrong syllable. Right.
There are three derby names from Portland that I can remember off the top of my head. And one of them is relatively innocent. It was Kickassity, right? Her name was Cassidy. Cool. So Kickassity, right? Okay. It was Smack Ya Sideways.
That's cool. That's actually cool. I like that name.
And she could skate sideways, like with her legs like sideways. So it was really cool. And then the one that's coming to mind right now that you guys are just going to die over, I'm sure, was Liquor and Split. Liquor and Split.
Nice.
So
that's
and there funny. Were a like lot more L-I-C-K of that kind than I can remember off the top of my head.
Matt and I are laughing and Pete's trying to figure out their grammatics. Okay.
Like liquor as in whiskey or liquor as in a Tootsie Pop?
Well, I'm gonna leave that to you.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it has a whole different connotation.
No, it doesn't.
Or it could be both.
Well, she might like to have a quick drink on her way home, and then, you know, and get out of there.
And split.
And split,
yeah.
You know?
And split, yeah.
Maybe she's a gymnast that's an alcoholic. There's a whole lot of implications here.
Right, but the spelling is antithetical to the argument.
Only to you guys. I have to say that this only is all Frank, very...
Oh, now that you brought this up, I'm very intrigued by this.
Yeah, see what you did, don't you?
I need to know.
All right, go.
Googling it.
What were you going to say, Rhonda?
Oh, I was just saying this conversation segues very well into Deadpool.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
Spoilers are now allowed because we're in our fourth weekend of release. Granted, I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
It is L-I-C-K-E-R.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, but that's all right.
Regina.
What? I haven't seen it. That I haven't seen it.
I won't say that I haven't had the opportunity
that
to go see it.
That was the mom voice.
Yeah,
yeah, it was.
Sorry.
Wow.
Should have
from
said
Rhonda
her middle
or from
name.
Me.
No, it was from Rhonda. Yeah. Say her middle name next time. It's even worse.
No kidding. Yeah, you got to.
Well, she did say my middle. She did say my middle name.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
Regina is my middle name.
Ah.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, aren't we so snappy?
Yes.
No,
we'll tell you Matt's middle name for a dollar.
It's Doc Liz. Remember Doc Liz?
Okay.
Oh, so it's Doctor is her first name. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I got you.
She's got two middle names.
Tell her my middle name. I don't want that shit.
I don't even know your middle name.
That's because I hate that middle name. It's a stupid name.
Well, let's see. Okay, it's Matthew Reefer, so let's see. Knowing your mom.
I guessed it. I literally said it on accident. I had no idea. And he was like, now, don't ever say my middle name.
Is it something weird, like hippie weird?
No.
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 No, so it's just a normal name weird, that you don't like.
It's pathetically like, plain when you hear it.
John.
That's
Andrew.
No, John. Nope, not John.
No.
Not I'll John. Give you a hint. His Paul? Initials are Matt A. Reefer.
Andrew?
No.
I said Andrew.
Anthony?
No.
Nope. Pathetically plain.
Adam?
Close.
Getting close. You're right there with the two A's.
Yeah.
You're right there.
Aaron.
Alan?
Nope.
Yes.
Yeah, Alan.
That's the one. It's so stupid.
Hey, mine's more stupid. My middle name?
It's a competition now.
I know, apparently.
My middle name?
I think I win.
Is D.
You do win.
Is what?
D.
Oh, you're like
Harry S. Truman.
Just the initial?
Just
D,
no, not even the initial.
Dean?
No,
Derek.
D. D-E-E.
No. No. Not even an
Danger.
Initial.
Danger? Danger?
No.
My middle name is Danger.
Danger Wolverton is here.
No, it's just the letter.
Yeah, like
not
Truman.
An initial.
Like no. Truman, yeah.
There's no period on the thing.
So it's not just, even like Truman. There's no period on there to make it look
it's
like.
Just the letter.
No, oh, okay. Rhonda's right. So, your middle name is now Danger. Franklin Danger
yeah,
Wolverton.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, I can go with that. So this is what happened, Frank.
Uh-oh.
Your parents were so strung out after the birth that they forgot to write the rest of it in.
I never got a straight answer from my parents.
Really?
Well, I know that. Back in the old days when they knocked rocks together, that a lot of kids just got initials.
Right.
All right. No, I never got a straight answer.
I got a full middle name.
I never got a straight answer from my parents to why it was only the letter. And so I created a couple of stories.
Okay.
And these were, you know, because people would ask. You know, when I joined the Marines, actually, I was at the MEPS, and I would go to sign my name. And they said, make sure you sign your full first, middle, and last name. Well, I signed D.
Mm-hmm.
The dude literally ripped up the contract twice, saying, I said the full middle name. I'm like, that is my full middle name. Yeah.
That's when you go get your birth certificate.
I did.
Yeah. Look. Look.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
just the letter. And one argument that's based in truth, because I do know for a fact that my father wanted to name me Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily.
That's another Deadpool segue. Francis. Oh, I'm going to fucking spell it out for you.
Luckily, my mother won that argument.
Nice.
And so I was called Franklin instead of Francis.
Mm-hmm.
And the first story I came up with was, well, they spent so much time arguing between Franklin and Francis that they never thought of a middle name.
And they just on the spot, D!
No, they just, I think they looked at the doctor and they said, hey, doc, hey, D works.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to give him a middle name?
So you can blame the doctor because he was
no.
like...
Yeah, you want to give him a middle name? Duh.
D.
No. You want to give him a middle name? Duh. Okay.
Yeah. D it is.
D it is.
It's really lucky he didn't write down T-H-E.
Right.
Thank God his hearing was on point.
And the other one was just because I grew up on the ass end of poor, that my parents just couldn't afford a middle name.
They wanted to put in Rock Knocker, but they couldn't.
They couldn't afford
it
because back when I was born, you paid by the letter. Yeah,
you paid by the letter.
And you figure my first name and my last name, I already had 15 letters.
Yeah,
or nine. Well,
I
can't add 17 letters.
Hilariously,
yeah.
That actually might be the reason because they're like, well, he's already got 17 letters. We're calling him Franklin Wolverton. let's kind of shorten the middle name. That way, it's not like a 22 fucking letter name. You know?
Yeah, he's not playing for football.
Yeah, they didn't want me to wait until ninth grade to be able to write out my name. Yeah, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
Or it's a cursive nightmare.
What's wrong with Alan?
It's just a stupid, simple name. And I'm not a stupid, simple person.
I still win dumbest middle name contest.
He does.
My parents had a stutter. Peter John Johnson.
Penis, yeah, toilet, you win. Penis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Penis, yeah. Toilet, penis.
At least they got the order right.
Yeah.
It's even a stutter worse with the initials PJ.
Now you know whenever I say that, you understand what I'm saying. I'm actually calling it my full name.
Anywho.
I'm gonna go
Francis.
Now, Regina, if you tell me your first name is Elizabeth, I'm walking out the door right now.
That's my first name.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's all right.
I'm sorry, dude.
Right in the upper lip. I'm sorry. His ass hit the mic stand and went right into my fucking lip.
I didn't mean to
get. It's all right. I'm all right.
I don't know what it is with the name Elizabeth. I can't get rid of it.
Okay.
Anyway.
You can't get rid of it?
Every single woman that I've become either friends with, or let's say friends or more than friends, but you know, girlfriends, friends, every single woman.
Run,
has,
Regina.
Like,
run.
Elizabeth. Liz. Lisa.
I'll distract him. You make for the door.
I'm thinking that just, like when we were born, because you're, I think you're relatively close to my age. I'm 41, getting ready to turn 42. You're relatively close to my age, yep. Right?
Yep. Yes, I am.
I'm guessing like Elizabeth was just obnoxiously popular back then.
No, well, I don't think it was. It wasn't unpopular, but that wasn't. My mom named me after my great grandmother, so her grandmother.
Oh, okay.
And she was, oddly enough, Regina Elizabeth, and then she wanted to do Elizabeth Regina, and then my dad actually wanted to name me Kelly, so, you know, good Irish name, and my mom was like, no, I want to name her after my, you know, the best maternal figure my mom had, so she named me after her, and switched it to Elizabeth Regina, and then my dad decided that he liked Regina better, and so I was about a month old when they started calling me Regina.
So what was your nickname growing up then?
Reggie.
Yeah, Reggie. I hate Reggie, but yes, Reggie. Reg. Reginald.
Oh.
G.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, Reginald. Yeah, Reginald terrible. Is awful.
That's terrible.
G.
Reg and Reggie. Are
Gene,
cool.
Okay. Yeah,
Reg and Reggie was okay. G. I liked being called G. My best friend growing up called me G. And I still have family that calls me Beth, though, because I was named Elizabeth. So I do still have family that calls me Beth. And I have to, like, shake myself and remind myself that they're talking to me because I've never gone by that name. So, yeah. Well,
I have a friend that's not Pete that enjoys pissing me
off.
Wait,
you have a friend?
Yeah. I have a couple. I have a couple. There's two of them in this room, and there's another one where I work at. And I have a friend.
That's three. Good.
Have you ever,
Matt, four.
Pete, hold on, Pete. Have you ever seen this friend?
Huh?
Have you ever seen this friend?
Who?
I'm talking about Cody.
Matt has a friend.
Oh, yeah. Just say Cody.
Oh,
yeah.
Cody.
Cody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's.
Yeah. I'm talking about
say
Cody.
That. Okay. Because I was starting to think like it might be one of those.
I think he was saying that for the ladies. But
yeah.
Well, no, I was thinking it might be one of those like, you know, like friends that lives in Canada that we'll never meet. You know.
Why would I make that up?
He would just admit that at this point. He'd just be like, yeah.
Why would I make that up?
I have a make-believe girlfriend in Canada.
Why would I make that up?
Yeah,
perfect. Go ahead. Your story.
But anyway.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend. She lives in Canada.
Yeah, exactly. You'll never meet her. Yeah. Cody.
I won't either, but that's all right.
My friend.
I don't know what she looks like. But
I've
I heard she got
her.
Both her eyes and most of her teeth.
Yep.
Most.
Most.
She's a huge hockey nut. Anyway. I'm sorry, I'm going to dig that.
That's so stereotypical.
I don't care.
Just because she's from Canada doesn't mean she has to like hockey. She could be a Blue Jays fan. Maybe she likes baseball.
Your hair smells like cinnamon pancakes.
Anywho, my fucking story here.
I'd have married that in a second. You don't.
Oh, please tell the story.
Thank you. They love doing
so. Matt's friend.
They love doing this. They love interrupting me because I get pissed off about it. My friend Cody.
Which one?
I did that one.
Go ahead, your friend Cody.
My friend Cody enjoys calling
just
you by
so
my...
Just
fuck you!
Just so you know, Cody actually does exist, okay? All right, go ahead.
I'm not even going to tell a story now. Fuck you guys.
Go ahead.
Anywho, he loves calling me by my middle name to piss me off. That's it. And he wouldn't let me fucking say that shit. It was a very short story. You guys kept interrupting the fucking story.
It's a three-hour show. We have to.
He calls you Alan to
piss
you off?
Yeah. The whole time. Like, he's like, Alan. I'm like, no, you know, don't use that fucking name. I'll stab you in the heart.
I like Alan. I do too. Mm-mm. Yeah, I like Alan quite a bit. But I think you're all just really, really bitchy, to be honest. So.
I had a crush on a guy in grade school
whose name was Talmadge.
Talmadge?
Talmadge.
Hold on. If you want to go with stereotypical, that would be the guy that you would think would be sitting there like, I'm going to Yale when I'm in graduate. My name is Talmadge.
I don't know. I got a feeling that kid smells.
No, he was really cute.
Did he smell though?
No.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
He's not saying really he's not.
Knew him in elementary school, and then he disappeared. I think his family moved away or something. And then I spotted him one day in the hallway at high school, and was like, "Oh my God, Talmadge!" And he just beamed these death ray eyes at me. And he came to me later, and he said, "I had my name legally changed
to just Mudge."
I'm sorry.
Like, how would you know that?
I hope his middle name wasn't Whacker because he'd have a hell of a nickname. Say,
like, what do you call that kid for short? Tally? Call him Mudge?
Midge.
Mudge, get over here.
Mid.
I mean, you're technically not bullying him. That's his name.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about Deadpool or not?
I really want to.
Yeah, I really want to, too.
I think Frank's hesitant because he hasn't seen
it. We've got some other really good topics today.
I want to talk about Ghostbusters, too,
go. Right. Now, so it sounds like Regina and I have not been able to see Deadpool, but based on everything that I've seen and heard, is basically Deadpool cracks a shit ton of jokes, kills a lot of people, hangs out with a couple of people that are stronger than, or as strong or stronger than him.
It's exactly what you would expect.
Yeah.
But
if it's pretty much like the comic books, I'm going to be a smartass for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And you're going to laugh a lot.
And you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good summary. Let's get in depth here.
No, go. So Rhonda, you have seen it?
Yes. I saw it on Saturday opening weekend, and I went to it early, which I highly recommend. If you have not seen the movie, you need to go see it in the theater. Mm-hmm. You need to go see it. This is one of those movies that is fun in a crowd. You want to go with a bunch of people around you, everybody laughing and snorting and being embarrassed together, and it just makes it so much more fun.
So it's not one of those, screw it, I'm waiting until it's on Redbox and I'll watch it by myself.
You miss a lot of experience. I think it's one of those rare films that is actually can be a community experience. And every adult that I've talked to who's seen it has loved it. They just had a good time.
Now, you went to go see it opening weekend, you said. How many people brought their kids?
It was embarrassing. There weren't many, but there was someone who walked in right in front of us. They had three little kids, and they should have been beaten in the alley. for taking them.
Because it's not like they didn't warn you ahead of time.
Oh, this is
I don't think that any of the warnings crap matters. I think it's just irresponsibility.
Well,
I think it's just parental irresponsibility.
You know, because I mean, they did have the fake advertising with the trying to make it a love story and all that kind of stuff. You know, the billboards. And,
who takes their kid to a romance though?
But at least that's something safe that they can sleep through or whatever. You know, there's nothing.
No, those parents were already dicks because they knew the kid was going to be bored and crying.
Which is or asleep. Either way. But Deadpool's kind of maybe a little bit.
It's rough. It is a hard R. It is rough.
It's like, I'm surprised.
Did you manage a body count?
What?
No. Are you kidding?
No, it's not like endless slaughter. He's just literally chopping people up left and right. But why would you sit there and count bodies? You know people are going to die.
Right.
And you're more interested in the stuff he's saying to people as he kills them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just everything. See, that's part of what got me is everybody was excited. The fake trailer, the real trailers, the marketing campaign, it made me nervous.
Fake trailer?
And I'm just like...
She's talking about the test footage that Ryan Reynolds, quote-unquote, didn't release.
Yeah.
Oh, he admits he released it.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get excited, and I picked up a couple of recent Deadpool comics, and I didn't care for them. And I was like, okay, you know, we'll just go see. I'm going to go for the ride. I love Ryan Reynolds, and I'm very much in the mood for comedies lately. And I sat down, and from the very start,
with the credits,
I was like, yes.
Oh God!
I heard the opening credits
immediately. I was like, oh okay. My God!
I'm on board.
They know what the bar is. And they've jumped it.
I heard my favorite reviewer of all time, when he was reviewing the movie, he said, overall, I'm giving the movie 2.5 stars. However, the opening sequence is probably the greatest opening sequence ever in a movie. Ever. Is what
he said.
It was
great.
It was good. The opening credits are probably the
right,
most,
and that, well, that's
the
what
most entertaining.
Talking, right, that's what he's saying. He said it's probably the greatest opening to a movie of all time.
Yeah, some douchebag.
yeah, the fake credits.
Teenager.
They did. We told you a little about. They did the fake credits, like the producer's some rich asshole.
Yeah. Oh.
And then when it's supposed to say Ryan Reynolds, it's instead it
the
says
heartthrob or something like that.
Canadian loudmouth heartthrob or something like that.
Yeah.
Like all the opening credits were
a gratuitous cameo.
Gratuitous cameo. Stan Lee. And, yeah. Yep. Like they did. They did every single opening credit as a fake jab at whoever was in it.
Yeah, it was awesome. The British villain, the British evil villain. Yeah.
This is the only. Yes. Now we were gonna go see this thing opening weekend, or
where's
I was gonna
Francis?
I was gonna go see this. Remember our plan was to go see this thing Saturday morning.
Yeah,
but then I think I got stuck at work, or you got stuck at work. That's what it was.
For 30 minutes.
Oh God! Yeah, Matt, your 30-minute fucking thing is the only reason why I haven't seen Deadpool.
Okay,
it's your fault. It's your
fault.
Still
wanted to go.
Yeah,
he didn't want to go with me.
No.
Okay.
We actually had an opposite experience with that, Rhonda. I think it was an opportunity to have a great time in the theater. But we had 7 sticks in the proverbial mud sitting behind us.
Oh.
It was like 4 or 5 dudes and their girlfriends. And probably had no idea what the subject matter was other than Ryan Reynolds comic book movie fun.
Yes. Yes.
So me and Matt are sitting in front of them. The theater isn't packed because we went late opening day. They opened like the theater at like 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. and they were doing showings all day on that Thursday. Yeah. So we were cracking up because it's one of our favorite comic book characters. It's Ryan Reynolds playing it perfectly, saying hilarious drop-dead one-liners the entire way through. We're laughing and cackling, and we're even hitting some of the jokes that other people aren't hitting. And yeah. they're basically, apparently we ruined their time because they just, I didn't hear them laugh once. Even when we weren't laughing, yeah. I didn't hear them giggle, nothing, not even once. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding. What are you watching a different movie back there? What is going on?
We must have gotten lucky because we saw the movie at about 11:30 on a Saturday, and it was a small crowd. I mean, it wasn't even for opening weekend at 11:30. It was a small crowd, but they were all into it. All of them were into it. And that's when I left. I was like, oh, this would have been so much more fun last night mm-hmm. with an entire full
I completely
auditorium.
Forgot that they would probably have an opening night showing, like a midnight showing for that. I was like, no. Ah!
Yeah.
Yeah, see, the theater was laughing a lot, don't get me wrong, but we were like right in front of the only people that just didn't get it at all. All right.
So I guess, that's Regina, awesome. Our mission before next then your next visit, I guess, would be to go see this damn movie.
Before, yeah, well, it's on
it
my...
Before it gets out of theater.
It's on my list. I have to take my husband to Star Wars before I see Deadpool, though. So.
Wait, he hasn't seen Star Wars yet?
God. He hasn't seen Star
Wait,
Wars
and,
yet.
And you're
no.
still married?
He's got a really good excuse.
It better yeah, have
he's,
been
he's
he was
up for sainthood.
No, it
yeah. better, he is up for sainthood. You
no,
have no idea
no,
how much
his,
sacrifice
his,
this
no,
man
no.
has made.
His excuse had better be I was in Iraq.
He's got a 3-year excuse or 2-year excuse.
You know, it's not really that far removed from that.
Okay.
Yeah. He was in a war zone of sorts. I mean, it wasn't, yeah. you know, bombs dropping in terms of like actual bombs, but he was dealing with you know, my mom's estate and my family who are not very hospitable people in an area he's unfamiliar with, and right. The movie theater where my mom lived has like 2 screens and like a Dolby 5.1 surround sound system that was in somebody's living room and got moved into the movie theater because they were like, oh, maybe we want this to sound a little better. And oh, the DVD player broke, so we can't show the movie. I mean, you like, seriously. He had nowhere to go to see it.
that sounds like where my grandparents live.
Yeah,
they have,
it's, you know,
they have
it was
one screen. They have a new movie every yeah. week.
Yeah, it's there are 2 screens, but they're like, you know, not much bigger than our 70-inch TV. Mm-hmm. You know, would have been a better experience with the surround sound system we have at home for him than being there. And you know, I went opening weekend because, you know, we were talking about it for the show, and I'm huge Star Wars fan, and he is too, but just, he didn't have anywhere to go to see it, like literally couldn't go anywhere mm-hmm. to see it, unless he drove to Sacramento, which was like 2 hours drive
right.
from no. where he was, and it wasn't worth,
yeah.
you know,
no,
going that for
yeah,
a movie.
No, yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. No, yeah, that makes
no.
sense.
He's,
that, okay.
And he... And he was in the last 5 months, he has remodeled one house and, you know, like updated another one. So he's, you know.
All right. Now, just because yeah. we never hear
all
about
himself.
Your husband.
Yeah.
Is he as big of a nerd as you?
Oh, God, yes. That's, I mean, the whole reason why we started dating was because we both talked, you know, poetically about Firefly in our dating profiles. So... yeah, and he's a big gamer, so.
Pete just adjusted his glasses. He said, okay.
No, it's the fact that Firefly brought people together, that's fantastic.
Well, it was funny. You guys would have loved this. I was walking down the hallway of the hotel with my friend, and there was one of the hotel guys, the workers had like blue gloves on mm-hmm. and I walked by him and I'm like and I just said it because it's what you say, right?
Yeah.
I'm like 2x2 hands of blue, and my friend just started laughing, and I'm like, do you know the reference? She's like, no, but that was really funny. And I was like, yeah.
I, when I hear stuff like that, I look at them and I'm like, we can't be friends until you figure this, until you get this. Because no, we can't be friends. Nope.
Yeah, it was funny. I was like, she didn't get the reference, but she thought it was funny. I'm like, oh, you, yeah.
It's like when somebody throws you a shirt and you say, thanks, Mean Joe, and they don't get it. The Coke commercial.
It's a theater one night, and okay. I was wearing a t-shirt that had Blue Sun logo on it.
Oh.
And the girl at the ticket counter said, do you know what that t-shirt is? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, okay, I'm just checking, because some people just buy any old crap at Goodwill. And she said, it's good to know that you know what it is. I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, I know what it is. With Firefly, the unfortunate part is that it's a huge community, but because of the fact it's 10 years old, like 11 years old, something like that, it's been so far off the air that it's not been really pushed into pop culture anymore.
Until they show up at the cons, and then the nerds go nuts.
Right, but those are people that are already into that stuff.
Right. I don't think you're gonna get too many new people, except for Regina's daughter, maybe. She'll probably be into it.
Oh, I tell everybody they should watch Firefly. Anybody I meet,
I watched it a year ago, and I'm like, how in the fuck did this not make it to a second season?
Boom. That's everybody's question. That is everyone's.
How did it not make it through its first season? Right. Yeah. They only got halfway.
You got halfway.
What you're saying
through
is
the first.
Nathan Fillion needs to leak test footage for Firefly season 2.
Although I haven't been able to watch Serenity yet.
We've talked about this. It's on Netflix.
I know.
It's only like an hour and a half long.
I know. I haven't gotten to it yet. I'll probably watch it.
You could always tell someone who has seen Serenity if you say, I'm a leaf on the wind. And their immediate reaction is like, what?
Wait a minute. Have I seen? No.
No.
Do you
know? You would know.
Do you know the reference that I just made? Then you have not seen it.
No, you'd know. Because even if you forgot, that phrase would bring it back. Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, right.
No, okay. I was trying to remember because, I mean...
I guess it's just a wash.
Fuck you. Yeah, die.
Oh. That was low. Yeah.
Okay. So...
That was pretty high up when it went through the glass.
So... It sounds like Deadpool is one of those.
That's funny.
It sounds like Deadpool is one of those movies that's hard to spoiler, just because there's not a lot of.
Oh no, we could spoil the crap out of it right now, like, but I think we're holding back out of respect.
Well, what I mean is like iconic scenes.
No, there's plenty. You're about to get killed by a Zamboni in about 4 minutes. Like I can start rattling off. And Rhonda and Matt both recognize the scene.
Right, but what I mean is out of context, that doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm guessing when I saw it in the movie, I'd be like,
damn
oh,
it,
okay.
Little spider monkeys. This is so confusing. Is it sexist to hit you? Is it sexist not to hit you?
You guys might not want to watch this. He turns the camera sideways as he.
How often? I was going to say, how often does he break the.
The baby arm scene with Michelle Nichols is by far my favorite. I lost
that
it.
That wasn't Michelle Nichols.
I was going to say, Michelle Nichols is in a movie?
Yep.
That's not,
no.
No, it's not.
No, it's not Michelle.
It's not Uhura.
Oh.
It's someone that looks a lot like her.
That
would have
been epic. So, Rhonda, you're giving the movie a 3.5 girls, 4 girls? What?
I don't know how many girls.
5 out of 5?
5 girls.
I give it 5.
5 full girls.
Yeah.
Giggity.
8. Knock that off. Well, we always try to actually if you're going to rate the movie, we usually try to when we're rating movies, we try to think of something from the movie. To actually rate it from
3.5 hands. It's a funny reference. See? Okay. She got it.
All right. So
do you have to double it because it's a tiny hand? My brother texted me after he saw it, immediately after he saw it. He said, literally, Coke came out of my nose.
So, in other words, if you haven't seen it yet, like Regina and I haven't, you're fuck you.
You're like those 7 people behind me and Matt. You're sticking the bird.
You'll have a good time.
Oh!
Is it a life-changing movie?
No, it's just a fun time.
It's just fun.
Okay.
It's important simply because in the scheme of things that people are beginning to see, like with Daredevil and with Jessica Jones, that there is a very big market for adult stories.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, last time we talked, Regina, you weren't here, but Rhonda, we talked about how I lost interest in blunt talk about halfway through.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for talking me into watching the rest of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize I did that.
Yes, you
did. Because at the time we talked about it, I hadn't seen it.
No, we talked about it last month.
We brought up Jessica Jones, and then we segued into Blunt Talk.
I'm the guy that talked all three of you into watching more of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Okay. Because we watched the end of it, and I'm like, you know, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, if you're a, especially if you're a vet, because, I mean, you got... The big thing at the end of it is PTSD, and especially the last couple of episodes. And but you get a glimpse of it at the beginning, but then they go away from it for a while.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, and at the end they bring it back, and then you kind of, you know, as soon as they bring it back up, you're like, you know, the rest of the series now makes sense. All of that shit.
Right. Yeah.
They don't present it like what you would normally see PTSD portrayed as. It's more that he's been so self-medicated and stuff, it kind of starts to catch up with him, but not in a overly dramatic, paranoid way.
Right. But that's what that's what I mean, though, because the way that the pop culture reference of PTSD is the lone wolf at the end of the bar drinking beer, and he's just going to snap at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to go off and kill 50 people just because he's got PTSD.
Or Iron Man 3, where he breathes really heavily every once in a while.
I fucking hate.
Yeah, see, they do it more that his PTSD manifested in kind of his mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
Like how he doesn't want to ever have a bad time, that sort of thing.
Right. It was a self-medication.
Right.
Is what it was with all the drinking and the drugs and the women and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like I said, it's one of those where you got to wait until the end of the series, but once the end of the series hits, you look back at the rest of the series and go, oh.
Yeah, it all clicks into place. Yeah, uh-huh. Absolutely.
So, okay, so thanks, Pete.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because literally after that show, I think the next morning, we just sat there and we just been watched all 10 hours of Blunt Talk.
Wow.
We went through and figured out where we left it at, but and then finished up from there.
Right. I think we skipped the first few.
Yeah.
But we watched a couple more that we had already watched that we had forgot we watched. Mm-hmm. So, I think we ended up watching like 6 of the episodes or something like that. Yeah. But, and, wow.
I liked it.
So, yes, watch Blunt Talk. It has nothing to do with sci-fi or anything like that.
Have you heard of it, Regina?
Oops, I have not. Actually,
it stars Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And even Brent Spiner shows up for a couple of cameos.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Patrick Stewart like you've never seen it.
Oh, I believe it because his internet persona is certainly not.
It's not even close to his internet persona.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's enough of. Yeah. I met him. Have I told this story?
No.
No.
What?
Just briefly, but I did meet him, yes.
if we're going to devolve into this conversation, I'm going to tell you right now, I win this.
Oh, here we go. Why is it always a competent? Let her tell her story.
I will tell her.
Don't interrupt.
Her.
That's rude.
Okay.
Okay, I took dance lessons with Alicia Silverstone, too. So.
Okay, yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
I don't know. If you're going to win. But, Patrick Stewart worked with a guy who ran Shakespeare Santa Cruz, and I went to UC Santa Cruz. And every year he did this one-man, or for several years, he did this one-man Christmas Carol performance, where he performed all the characters of A Christmas Carol himself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As a fundraiser. It was amazing. I mean, it was slightly terrifying, like how good it was. Just amazingly talented actor. And at the time I was working in the arts department, and they took volunteers. All the ushers were volunteers. And so I, of course, who wouldn't volunteer to usher for Patrick Stewart? 'Cause you got to go to the, the show for free. Well, I did Saturday night show, and they did a, you know, an evening thing after with, you know, Patrick Stewart and all the hobnobs from the theater department. And we were given express instructions to not socialize with Patrick Stewart. Like, the plebeians were not supposed to talk to the star, right? So
We're not worthy.
Seriously, like, all of us were, like, huddled in a corner, just, like, drooling and staring. And when the stage manager came over to me, for whatever reason, she picked me out. And she's like, could you do me a favor? And she's like, I just want to make sure no crazy people get into his dressing room. So can you go stand in front of his door and make sure that nobody goes into his room? And
I'm like, person.
I'm drooling, you know, 10 feet away from him. And you want me to stand in front of his door? Yeah. Of course I'll stand in front of his door.
He's not on your list, is he?
No. No, but it is Patrick Stewart. So, and okay. he is shorter than you expect him to be. I'll just say that. He's short. And so I went and I stood by his door. And then when he came to leave, he came over and he said, thank you, my dear. And, you know, walked into his dressing room. And of course I couldn't speak because the drool was choking me. But, yeah.
That sounds very similar to my experience. I had Leonard Nimoy when I was at work actually.
Son of a bitch.
Actually call me wanting to know the upgrade eligibility for his cell phone account.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And like the name came across and I was like, there's got to be another.
Yeah, there can't be more
can't
than
be
one of these.
Him. Right?
Yeah, there's no way this is Leonard. And I was like, no. I can't talk to Spock right now. I can't. Cause I actually had a Live Long and Prosper t-shirt. It was like baby blue with a picture of him doing the hand. I was like, it was crazy. And he
oh, my God.
And I do not believe you understand the importance of this call to me at this time.
And I tell everybody this story. They ask, did you ask him? I was like, you're going to ask. I was at work. If I'd have brought that up and pushed it into my head at all, that I was actually talking to Spock, the call would have stopped. I wouldn't have been able to do my job at all.
Right. Like, you would have just choked because you just choke sometimes. I mean, when they're that, like,
what you should have done was just ended the call with, thank you, sir. Live long and prosper.
See, I didn't want to be that guy, though.
You should have gone full bore for it. I'm like, all right, while I'm checking this, just one question. In season 2, episode 5, I believe your direct line of dialogue was.
See, now that would have been entertaining. I should have done that. That's the best way to do
No,
that.
I was stationed out in California for a couple of years, and I got to meet, occasionally meet, like, glancing with famous people. But the funnest one, I would have to say, was getting drank under a pool table by Martin Sheen.
That doesn't surprise me.
Man, all I did was tell Michael Bay his movies suck.
I was in the Marine Band out there because we did...
Jeff Dunham,
yeah.
Yeah. We did...
in the Prius.
Have you guys ever seen the movie The American President?
Yes.
Yes.
When they're walking down the stairs and you see them for the formal dinner and you see the Marine Band there and then in the dinner you see the jazz band, that's actually us. That's an actual Marine band doing that stuff. And they brought us in just to do those couple of scenes. And... So then they invited us to the rap party after they got done. I don't know why, but they invited us to the rap party. And you guys know me. I'm not big on parties.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I hid out in the back room. Well, Martin Sheen's back there, too. There's a pool table back there. And he's like, you play pool? I'm like, yeah, a little bit. And he goes, all right.
Rack him up.
Yeah. Yeah, rack him up. Nine ball shot for shots. And I'm like, all right. Next thing you know, I'm under the table, literally under the table, curled up, just out of it. And here's the worst thing is, I'm the designated driver.
And when Martin Sheen says tells you we're gonna drink, right. You don't not drink.
Yeah. It probably took all of about a half hour for me, but I got to hang out with Martin Sheen for a half hour playing pool and getting my ass drank under a pool table.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is cool.
But
speaking of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Whoa, segue.
Wait, is Martin Sheen in Ghostbusters?
We don't do segues here. We're like
he
George
wasn't
Carlin.
In Ghostbusters. Who is in Ghostbusters?
Transitional materials for suckers.
The trailer was released this week.
I have not seen this trailer.
Well, I'll come here and watch it.
That's okay. A Winnebago.
Yeah, watch it.
Okay, I'm gonna go watch this trailer.
Now I do have.
Okay, so I just had to do this. I took my picture on Facebook of me and Alicia Silverstone from when we danced as kids, and I tagged you guys in the comments so you can see.
Get schooled, the picture. Matt.
Now,
yeah,
I will say, and I'm gonna say this before the trailer starts because I have a lot of problems with this trailer. And it doesn't have a lot to do with the characters being women. My problem started with the scroll. Because
the
they said
scroll?
Yeah. The words at the beginning where they said 30 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Four scientists. I'm like, you can't even get the fucking canon right. Winston was not a fucking scientist. He was making 11, he was some dude that they pulled off the street that they gave a proton pack and said, here, shoot this. We'll pay you $11 an hour.
Yeah.
He didn't care.
Yeah. Because he even says it in the movie. He says, look, for 11 bucks an hour, I'll believe whatever the fuck you want me to believe.
Yeah.
So you can't even get the canon right. Ugh.
That's Frank one of many
like,
problems.
Oh, hell no.
That's stupid.
They got the fire. It's CGI.
A new team will answer the call. Wait. Okay. I'm going to play the thing, but a new team will answer the call. Yeah.
It's a class 4 apparition. That's okay. She seems peaceful.
My name is Erin Gilbert, doctor of particle physics at... That stuff went everywhere, by the way, in every crack. Very hard to wash off.
We have dedicated our whole lives to studying the paranormal. Now there's sightings all over the city.
There are people out there that need our help.
Holtzman, you're a brilliant engineer.
Erin, no one's better at quantum physics than you.
We can provide a real service.
Join the club.
You guys are really smart about this science stuff, but I know New York. And I can borrow a car from my uncle.
You didn't disclose that the vehicle was going to be a hearse.
It's a Cadillac!
Let's go.
Let's go.
I'll let you.
Next time. Okay.
Someone is creating a device that amplifies paranormal activity. And we might be the only ones who can stop it.
Holtzman, come on!
The hat is too much, right? Is it the wig or the hat?
There's a bigger picture at hand here. These ghosts can possess the human form.
Oh, hell no! The devil is a liar! Get out of my friend, ghost!
Ow, that's gonna leave a mark!
The power of pain compels you!
Ow!
You know what the best part about that? We got a dubstep version of the Ghostbusters thing. That's what...
I'm not impressed.
No, I'm not.
Unfortunately,
either.
No.
No, you people are so whiny. God.
Go, Rhonda,
what
go.
Oh.
I'm waiting.
No, go. No, you're the ones that have got the problems.
It wasn't even like anything
the
specific.
The stereotypical
like
fat black woman has to show up.
Well, and for me, it wasn't even the details. I just felt like... I felt like the spirit was missing. Like
yes,
yeah.
Like the irreverent, the kind of like the taking it serious but not taking it too seriously, I felt like that kind of that feeling that I loved about Ghostbusters is missing.
Well, Pete,
and for me, it's not even the jokes, it's not even the stereotypes, it's not even that. I didn't have that. Like when I watch trailers and I get that feeling inside, like I can see the potential of what's going to be in the movie, and that's what I'm looking for. And it didn't hold that for me. And I don't know if that means that the movie is not going to, just this trailer didn't do that. And maybe it will later. I really want to love it. So I'm kind of like, does that make sense, Rhonda? Like, I'm not throwing the whole thing out.
Well, Pete and I.
No, it makes sense. But I think that it is probably a very conservative trailer.
Probably.
And I don't think that they're giving us very much.
That could be that it was just, it didn't have, I don't even know. Like, I couldn't put my finger on it, and I puzzled about it.
The characters just didn't do it for me. I mean, if you think back to the original, things like, you know, Venkman, Pete and I were talking about this earlier. Ray and Egon were nerds.
Yeah.
But they didn't really know that they were nerds. They would talk to each other.
Didn't care.
And then Venkman would be sitting there on the side just going,
"You guys are morons.
You guys are morons."
The thing about it is, in a trailer, you're not going to get a whole lot of characterization.
Yeah.
And you're talking about four, actually, Class A female comedians.
No.
Yeah.
No, you are not. We had this. Go ahead, Pete, because you vocalized this better than I did.
They're not Class A comedians. Three of them have improv Saturday Night Live experience and have really never done any stand-up. And the original three guys were all originating from, like, Second City and improv and stuff, but they had all done stand-up comedy along the way, and it kind of refined I disagree with the statement that they're female comedians.
Just make them all.
When I say Class A, I mean they're good. I don't mean as far as the industry would rate them. They are good.
The only one that I would rate as a good comedian, at least reading off of a script, would be Melissa McCarthy. I do enjoy her as an actress. She's funny in just about everything she's done.
Yeah, I'd agree.
The others, not. I don't even know. This is going to sound stupid. I don't even know who the black woman is.
Saturday Night Live.
That's where a lot
and
of these
the other
guys
one,
are.
The nerdy one that was wearing the hat, because hats are funny.
And
she's from
where
Saturday
did
Night Live
Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray come from? Oh yeah, Saturday Night Live.
Well, they were actually Second City and stand-up comedians before that.
But they came from Saturday Night Live. These are three good female comedians who have not gotten nearly as much press, nearly as many opportunities as male comedians have.
And that's one of the reasons why I was so excited about the movie. And I still am. I'm still going to give it, you know, like you said, I don't know if it's that they're holding back in the trailer, but I really did miss what, I mean, it's really hard. It's really hard to duplicate the spirit of an original movie that captured the imagination the way the Ghostbusters did. It's really hard to redo that and to revision it. And I will give it a chance. I will always give it a chance. But I think I was looking for that spark of imagination, and I felt like too many of the jokes were too derivative of the original Ghostbusters.
It felt
for me
really
to feel
canned. Like
from yeah,
it felt like
yeah,
they were
exactly.
trying to bridesmaid Ghostbusters.
Well, I didn't feel that. I just felt like they were trying to take what was funny from Ghostbusters and throw all of it in the trailer as fast as they could.
Yeah.
And smush it all in there.
And it felt money grabbish.
So, but also the way this trailer feels to me is they start out the trailer at the beginning by saying 30 years ago, four scientists saved New York, and now a new team, but yet the trailer sets it up to be that the other team never even existed, and these are we're starting from here. Feeling. If you're going to reference the old team, then the movie needs to be like a continuation of it, not a flat-out reboot.
No, that's splitting hairs.
No, it's not splitting
that
hairs.
I'm not.
I don't. I wouldn't have a problem with this being an actual new team, because that's how they set it up. But then as soon as the trailer starts, it's like, all right.
All right. I think that the individual points that we're making are actually valid, because I think what we're talking about is it's a crap trailer.
I agree.
And that's what we're talking about is a crap trailer.
I'm not saying I'm not going to give the movie a chance.
Right.
But I think the problem that they're going to run into, and it's the problem that I'm having with it, and it might be the problem that Matt and especially Peter are having with it, is that we're going into this movie with a preconceived notion. And if it doesn't live up to what we grew up to as kids, we're going to hate it.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is,
I don't have a problem with a rebooted. I didn't have a problem with Star Trek, and that was a full-on reboot.
That was done well, yes.
That was done well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think that's kind of what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm open to it being rebooted. Yeah. I'm open to the actress, the actors, and the comedians who are in it. Absolutely. I think Rhonda hit the nail on the head. I think that it was a bad trailer. And I think it's really sad, because I think there was so much hype and so much concern about it, that to have the trailer, you know, kind of fall flat for all of us for very different reasons, I think is dangerous for them, I guess.
And like I said, I think my biggest problem with the trailer is just what I said. I'm like, you reference them right at the beginning of the trailer, and then you flat out reboot it.
Yeah.
Well, we only talked about the cast because we were kind of comparing the flow of the trailer.
Right.
But my initial problem with the trailer was more mechanical than it is anything else, which is one.
Hold on, before you get into that, I will say, though, having said all of that, the ghosts that they showed in the trailer looked really fucking cool.
I do appreciate the CGI.
Oh,
the CGI,
my God. Like, I thought that, too. I'm like, God, can you imagine if it was the original with these?
Oh, yeah. I've been fantastic. Like, oh, man.
All right, Pete, go ahead. I just wanted to. Is that what you were going to?
I was actually going to say that the CGI looks incredibly bad.
Really?
It looks like the same exact graphics designer that came out of the Eddie Murphy Haunted House movie.
Okay.
Which, if you go and watch the trailer for the Eddie Murphy in Disney's Haunted House and go, oh my God, they use the same exact software. They use the same exact lighting effects.
They probably did, but but again, I think this is one of those preconceived notion deals where if you compare the CGI to this to the CGI of the original Ghostbusters.
The other mechanics of the writing was, in both of the other Ghostbuster movies, you had a supernatural threat, which humans were involved with. This is now a human threat manipulating the supernatural.
So they're going
to take down a person rather than take down a spirit.
Right.
No, like, what was the Gozer in the first one? Demigod from Babylon or whatever. It's an evil spirit. In the second Ghostbusters, you had Vigo or whatever in the painting, and he was a supernatural entity manipulating humans. In this movie now, for some reason, it's been flipped on its head where now it has to be a human, and I got $20 that says it's a dude manipulating spirits.
Yeah. Yep.
And of course, we're also waiting for the stereotypical. You know, so the biggest problem that I had with this is when I was talking about them trying to bridesmaid the thing. It's like, let's take all the funny shit that Ghostbusters did and have women say it just because it's funny.
And, right. Well, that's the problem I have. It's like, I don't want a copy of Ghostbusters with different actors. I want something that's in the spirit of that movie, but is its own story.
What we started talking about right away is, I'm like, if you think about the original Ghostbusters, when they brought Janine in.
Yeah.
Janine is cute, but she's not necessarily the male stereotypical hot babe.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, Chris Hemsworth, on the other hand, is pretty much stereotypically, not like individually, but, you know, women are going to look at Chris Hemsworth and go, wow.
You know? I have a bet. So we're trying I'll to make figure, a bet with all of you.
So we're trying to figure out how exactly, you know, Go ahead. I think you're probably going to say what.
Either Chris Hemsworth in the first 15 minutes of screen time that he appears is either going to A, have no shirt, or B, his clothing will somehow become wet and you will see his pectoral and abdominal muscles.
And then he gets hired. And that's how, and during the job interview is probably how that's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, we don't want you, we don't need you. And then they're like, oh.
Yeah, because you're going to get that stereotypical, you know, movie female reaction of, ooh, he's hot, we should keep him around.
Which I believe the job interview in the first Ghostbusters movie was she tough-talked somebody on the telephone.
Yeah, like she answered the phone.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
So what you guys are really complaining about is that Chris Hemsworth is being used as a sex object.
No, not at all. I have no doubt he will be, but that's not my issue with the movie. My issue is my the issue mechanics, with the, movie, the storytelling, and oh, hell no, the devil up in here.
No.
You were specifically talking about Chris Hemsworth being more of a sex object
than the original secretary in the movie, and that he will appear without his clothes.
No. That's not my problem. My problem is that they have to bring in the stereotypical female response to that.
An observation of it is not an issue with it.
Exactly.
You can sexually abuse men all you want. That's what we're there for.
Okay.
All right, I hate to be the damper.
Go ahead.
Is that the majority audience that's going to go see this are women, and they want to see Chris Hemsworth's shirt come off.
Okay. Yes. Agreed.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I think some men want to see his shirt come off too.
You're thinking they're going for the Magic Mike crowd.
No. Absolutely not.
Well, my major issue with
I'm just saying they shouldn't have to bring that into it. You know,
that's Frank talking.
Why not?
Why not?
I mean, in the first Ghostbusters,
if they had the opportunity to hire a busty, dim-witted blonde, they didn't. They're stupid. Right. These women are smarter. They hired Chris Hemsworth.
And on that note, guys,
smarter
I have to go.
Or thinking with their hormones? That's
both.
You have to go run.
I got a boogie. But
is there anything else that you wanted to bring up before you take off?
No, I wanted to be here for the discussion of Ghostbusters, so okay. I'm glad that I was able to make it in for that. That was the one thing I wanted to make sure we got to talk to you guys about today.
You like my shotgun segue now, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
I honestly think that my biggest problem with this movie is that they did it in the first place.
I'm not opposed to it.
Well, then you're not going to like anything about it.
That might
end up happening. You know,
That's probably coloring your perspective.
It possibly is, and I don't know if I said that right. I'm not beyond admitting that.
Good.
There's certain movies that I don't think they should fuck with. Ghostbusters is one of them. So, yeah. I'm perfectly willing to admit that that's probably clouding my judgment. And that's what I was trying to get to a few minutes ago when I said I think a lot of people's problem with this movie is going to be is that they shouldn't have made it in the first place.
Yeah.
Hey, Regina, before you go, I have a joke for you.
Okay.
What's the English teacher's favorite vacation spot?
I don't know what.
Anywhere along the Pacific Ocean. Hey, she's in Oregon. It counts.
I am. It really does. It's very applicable.
I gave Frank a headache.
All right. Have a good time, guys, and keep an eye on Game On Girl for new stuff.
Yay!
I will.
Our new thing. Yeah. I'll talk to you guys next month.
All right. Thanks, Regina.
Bye.
Bye. Now, Rhonda. Rhonda hung up, too? Uh-oh.
Bye, Rhonda.
Now.
I don't know if she meant to hung up. I think that's just Skype being a...
pain in the ass.
Pain in the butt. So
what I got from that trailer was let's try to
hold on, Rhonda.
Yeah, I got back. That okay. was weird. I didn't know you guys were gone.
Well, yeah, no, I think it's just Skype being weird because it knocked her off when we called you, and then when you call, or when she called back in, it killed. So I think Skype's just being a
very anyway. Professional.
Well, I mean, you've made a couple of references towards the regarding the black actress Leslie Jones that's in the trailer.
I honestly don't know anything about her. I think this is the first time, but I don't watch Saturday Night Live, so this is the first thing I recognize, you know, that I've seen.
Well, what about the character then?
The only thing that I've seen of her in this trailer is what Pete was saying earlier, where they had to have that the stereotypical sassy large black woman. Talking street.
I actually agree with a lot of the observations from Social Justice Warriors on this. Is like the first words out of her mouth in the trailer, y'all good at this science stuff, and then like stuff like, ah, hell no, the devil. It was like, wait, did you just do that? And I believe all four of these like comedians, I'm making air quotes, are supposedly feminists and very up on social issues, and I'm like, what did you just do? Because even in the first movie, it wasn't that he was stupid or just a black guy. It was that he wanted work, and he was kind of out. He was the everyman. He was out of his element, and that was the point of the story. Was there is a guy on there that didn't know anything about this stuff, mm-hmm. just like you and the audience did, and his reaction was supposed to ground you into the reality of it. He wasn't there as comic relief.
He was the Greek choir, is what you were talking about. He was the guy that you were supposed to relate to.
Right.
Yeah.
And when I saw her in the trailer, my first reaction is, why is she this way? That's the wrong way to word it, but I'm like, why does she fit a stereotype that so many other black actors and actresses have been thrown in comedic movies, which is your job is to say these three catchphrases, aw, hell no, bust a cap in the ass, and the devil up in here. Like, why are you fitting this thing that you just complained about? She was in a sketch on Saturday Night Live about the Oscars being whitewashed and no good roles for black actors and actresses. And I'm like, right. But you just did this movie
now,
which may have worsened the problem for you individually.
This could be a situation of where what Rhonda was talking about of it being a bad trailer. Those could be the only three times in the movie where she does that, and there's a reason for her doing it in the movie that we can't catch from the trailer. You know,
Cadillac? Come on.
We don't know. Well, in the original movie, it was an ambulance, I think.
Yes.
Yes. I kind of appreciate the irony of using a hearse as a ghost-busting mobile.
Right. I thought that was actually kind of clever over right. the ambulance in the original.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they should have used a hearse in the original. It wasn't all bad ideas in this trailer or this movie, I don't think. Right. But it's still like, why is the black woman obsessed with Cadillacs? That is actually a stereotype. Yes, it is a stereotype, because you have black guys with Escalades and all this other shit that goes around in the media and racism and everything like that. It's like, why did you just do that to that character?
Right. But we're also imparting our expectations from the original movie, because Winston was the everyman. You know, how do we know that she's supposed to be the every woman?
That she is or isn't.
In this role.
Which is a fair point.
It could be one of the others that they're sliding into that. Because it
could be, but
because the times are a lot more tech savvy, it could be the quiet one that's supposed to be the everyman in this role. You know, the one with the wig or whatever. You know, we don't know. I think Rhonda might be onto something when she's saying it's just a bad trailer.
Yeah, I think it's just a. I think in general it's just a bad trailer, and I think that the stereotype conversations are very interesting but extremely wrong. I'm trying to bring up the article I found today where the actress Jones addresses some of the flack, some of the kickback. Yeah. Here. And surprisingly, on the Mary Sue, it's an extremely good article, and I didn't have anything to disagree with. But some concerns around Leslie Jones's character, Patty, and whether or not that she was a stereotype. Jones sees the matter rather differently. On her Twitter account, she tweeted a message she received from a fan who happens to be an MTA employee. And the response, and I just encourage you guys to go up there and see the article. It's by Teresa Jusino, J-U-S-I-N-O.
Okay. No, okay, I did, because I think you sent this in when with your
initial
note suggestions. Yeah, because I did read this, and I did have one issue with it, but I'm going to let you talk about it first, and then I'll talk
yeah,
about
let me,
the issue at the end.
I think that it is a long-standing stereotype that the better and more educated and more successful people in the world are people who went to college. And I think that that is, I wish Regina had been able to be on for that. That is a stereotype that just continues to be perpetuated. And it's perpetuated by people who complain that the black character doesn't have a college education. Because a college education these days, if you get an undergrad degree, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. We have gotten to the point to where if you have, you can't get a job without a college degree because it's seen as the same thing as a high school diploma used to be seen as. When I was going to school, you couldn't get a job without having gone to college if you really wanted to be successful in life. But we're way past that. There are thousands of kids graduating from college and they can't do squat and they can't get squat. And you've got so many more success stories coming from people who are just smart or street smart. And to say that you happen to be working in a toll booth, or you happen to have not gone to college, or you dropped out of school, or because you happen to talk a certain way, doesn't mean that you're stupid. And I tend to think that the woman in the show is probably going to show up the scientist as being smarter anyway, because these academics are so snobby. They're so elitist. They have no idea. They've got all these theories, and they think they know everything, and it's crap.
I kind of got that feeling as well, but they didn't portray it at all in this trailer.
No. It's not a great trailer, but I don't think... See, this is a problem I have with having an intense, hair-splitting discussion about a minute-long trailer without having any context. People are throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and they're already calling this movie racist. How can you do that?
I wasn't going that far.
No, not you. Not you. But, good Lord, if the social justice warriors are involved in it, I mean, good God. You don't have any context. And you think very, very little of these women if you think that they are they're involved in something like that and they can't stand up for themselves. You know, we've seen Melissa McCarthy stand up for herself in the past. She has no problem with it even before she got more popular. And I doubt very seriously if anybody tells Miss Jones what to do.
I think
so.
Pete is... got this look on his face like, huh?
Yeah.
So, I don't know what he's trying to... I think you gave him a stroke.
Ooh.
That's kind of the look he has.
I'm
right
confangry
now.
Right now. I am so pissed with everything because the very website you're reading this, and I'm not taking an argumentative tone at you. I'm taking it at the fucking Mary Sue. Because this is the
Hold on. You've heard her say that
she loves this website.
No.
She loves hating the website.
She loves hating the website.
This is the same agency. That's the best term I can find for it in my head. That bitched that the black stormtrooper was a fucking janitor.
Yeah.
And now we have a fat, sassy black woman talking about Cadillacs and the devil and not being no smarts, non-educated type. And that's fine. Because they chose to portray it that way?
No. See, that's what's so incredibly hilarious about the Mary Sue, because the first article that came out about it was trashing the trailer. And that's a reason why
I saw that on the Google search results, too. So you're telling me if the black guy in Star Wars, if him as an actor made the decision to change the script that he was a janitor, nothing could ever be said about it. But because they wrote the character as a janitor and ended up casting a black guy, racist. But
No. They never specifically said janitor.
He was in sanitation.
He could have been a plumber.
Everyone with a fucking chip on their shoulder to be had immediately assumed they had a black guy scrubbing floors and shit on the Death Star.
I thought plumber.
You have, that was you.
The articles that came out, and I'm sorry, I have to do this because this is
like
the phrasing that
upset me. Building the plumbing system on the, you know, that's what I thought.
Fine. But then, like, at the same time, within the nerd community, not in the feminist or SJW community, within the nerd community itself, festered this boil that was, I was so excited to see a black Jedi. I'm a black nerd and I wanted a black Jedi. Why is the black guy a stormtrooper and why is the black guy a sanitation worker? And I'm like, he was one of the heroes of the movie. He was a stormtrooper. He helped save Rey. He helped destroy the...
Yeah.
What is going on right now? And now, okay, this character is blatantly hitting stereotypes in this trailer. Maybe not in the movie. Yeah, I'm giving it that pass. But then the reaction is, oh, it's different because she decided to portray it that way. Wait, what?
No, I'm not. Who said that?
That's what the article is saying. Is like, oh, I'm portraying the transit worker. So the average transit worker is uneducated and claims not to know nothing about no science.
That's not what
so
the article
lost.
Says. That's not what the article says. The article that came out on March 3rd by Maddie Myers complains on the Mary Sue that the character of Patty, the black actress Jones, is not a scientist. Why is she the only one that's not a scientist? That's stereotypical Mary Sue. Jumping, knee-jerk reaction, wah-wah-wah, without having any context,
because
and
they
being
were
stereotypical
basing it off
themselves.
Of the original movie where they had to have the one guy who was Winston who was not a scientist.
Well,
referencing the original movie.
I doubt that the Mary Sue is that thought provoking to.
Although I will say,
but the article that
hold on, we never in the original movie though we never really got any background on Winston other than he got a job.
Yeah, he didn't really need much setup with that because he's like he didn't care as long as as he said himself. As long as the paycheck's there every 2 weeks,
right.
I don't care.
Because I mean, the feeling that I got off of the trailer is that she was some kind of maybe a transit worker or something like that, and she saw some weird shit and went to them and said, "Look, I'm joining you guys."
Yeah, I don't see anything in this article where Jones says that she chose to portray the character this way. And the article that I'm talking about is by Teresa Giussino is the one where it's an actual MTA worker is saying, you know what, this is a real job and it's a great portrayal of a real human being and I appreciate the portrayal. And it has nothing to do with class. It has nothing to do with color or gender.
Hold on, because I think you're reading through her quote, which is great. It's great to read that. then, like, down a paragraph, why is a black actor playing a black character in a civil servant job worse, quoties, than a black actor playing a black character that adheres to what mainstream white society deems as acceptable? So a black person in a positive role, that's the white media making them in a positive. See, here's the double talk. This doesn't make any sense. This is what makes me confangry. Because you read the next
Jones
sentence.
Jones is not saying that.
Why is that white characters get to be flawed? Degenerate schlubs, but black characters who have to be perfect and mainstream, which is often code for white. That's the author that we're reading. They're the ones saying that we should be able to, but if you do, you're racist. They did that with the black guy in Star Wars, and they were called racist, but they did it with this character, and they're breaking new ground, but it's a movie that came out. Do you see what the double talk is there?
I'm still confused. I just want to make sure, because what I was hearing you say is that the actress Jones was saying this, and it's not. It's the writer of the article who is saying this. So, black character.
Yes, we're all reading right now. Matt's listening, but and we're all reading this article. Because I'm looking for there was one little thing that she said in here that pissed me off to no end. But it,
and what was it?
But, well, that's what I'm trying to find. There was like a specific one thing that she said, but it was about her job. So... I'm trying to find it here. Let's see. I'm just going to read. Hey, Leslie, thanks for being you. A question was asked by a news writer about your role as your new black actress. This was my response. I worked for the MTA in a role as a ticket booth clerk, and I was happy to see my job, something which provides me with plenty of jokes, a great perspective on society, and a bird's eye view of horrible shit that I witness every day on screen. I wish Leslie would have hooked me up, you know, a joke. However, the fact that my position as a clerk, there it is the most abused by society.
Her tweet's at the bottom. She's actually saying it.
Her job as an MTA clerk is the most abused by society. That's what sent me off. I'm like, really? You're going to go there?
What's wrong with the statement?
The statement is factually incorrect.
Well, it's...
It's lived experience. I know what...
Matt, I bet you probably think your job is the most abused by... Because the shit you got to take from people listening on the phone.
That's why I actually agree with that statement, because it's totally an experience. I can't project my thought process into that at all.
Right. But what I mean is, you know, I mean, with the shit that you got to deal with on a daily basis, I'm sure there's been days where you've left work going, why the fuck do I even do this?
Yeah, absolutely. and that's my own personal experience when it comes to that.
Right.
Well.
But she's making a blanket statement there that an MTA clerk is the most abused in society.
According to her experience. That's the other side of it.
She didn't say that. She said the fact that
right,
my position as
hairs.
A clerk.
Yeah, we are splitting. No.
She
it's
says,
140 character
the
tweet.
Fact that, no, I'm not reading the tweet. I'm reading the actual article here. The fact that my position as a clerk is the most abused by society. She doesn't say, in my opinion, or I think. She says the fact that my job
that's
is
a
the
semantical
most
argument
by society.
That's a sem-
she
you're
says
making a semantical
the
argument to
fact that my job.
Okay, right. She's making an assumption. We get that.
She's making an assumption, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
She's making an assumption, but trying to play it off as a fact.
Right.
Right.
The actual quote is the fact that my job is the most abused by society.
I'm not holding this person accountable for that. They're not a professional writer or any type of spokesperson or anything.
Yeah.
I'm sure a garbage worker thinks their job is the most abused. Recycling worker thought he was the most abused person that day because we asked him to pick up the recycling, which was his fucking job. Everybody thinks,
And that's what I was trying to get to.
Right.
You know, she's trying to play it off as a fact that her job is the most abused. You know, I think as a truck driver, I'm like, you know, there's times where I treat like complete okay. double shit.
So that was the problem you had, was just that blanket statement.
Exactly.
Okay. No, the problem I have with it, is it's kind of like a mind double think now, because again, the even going down to like the intelligent, someone that it made sense that the hero in Star Wars came from a background that you don't expect the hero from. He wasn't the sharpshooter in his squad. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the battle commander of all the legions of the First Order. He was a guy that worked in sanitation on the Death Star.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker and was a fucking moisture farmer.
He was scared and skittish, and then when his friend, a.k.a. love interest, was in trouble, he jumped on a ship, flew in there head first, and saved her because he was ultimately the hero.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter what he did at the end. What mattered to people is what he was doing on the way, which was he was a scaredy cat black guy that was using sanitation on the Death Star. But now this exact same argument, or not even argument, the point is people that learn from that, like, okay, we need to be cautious when we're portraying black people in these types of roles. We should be a little more considerate for some racial and give them more positive roles. Then this comes out and people are like, I'm actually kind of offended by that. That seems to be fitting stereotypes into a character, and that seems to be very hurtful for your... And then it's like, no, it's different because they're portraying it properly? I don't understand it.
Right.
I don't understand how you can defend it when earlier the year they attacked it.
Hold on. I guess how you could say that they are the same is that if you think about it, you know, the black guy being the sanitation worker... rebelling or seeing his true calling or whatever becomes more than a sanitation worker.
Right. Which she sees her true calling to be a Ghostbuster.
Right. Yeah. You know, where she would be the MTA worker that sees her, finds her true calling, just like, so that's where you could kind of compare the two.
Right. And I get the comparison. What I don't get is the reaction to one was,
oh, the reaction
irate
to, okay,
that they dared to do that. And then this time, less than 4 months later, it's fine. It's okay because they did that.
This is honestly the first time that I've ever heard of anybody having a problem with Finn being a sanitation worker. I've never.
You don't hang on the same circles in the internet that we
obviously
do.
Obviously, I don't.
The main boil that rose out of that was that the black guy didn't. I'm sorry, this was their phrasing. The black guy didn't get to be the Jedi. That was the main problem from, and this is their words. They used it. The black nerds.
All right, like, so now they're saying the black guy doesn't get to be the scientist.
Can we hear from the Chinese nerds? What's going on? Are we really racially dividing nerd culture now? There's these lines that, no, we don't share these interests because he's got a different skin tone than me.
All right.
So then it goes, then the other reaction was, why is the black guy a janitor, a.k.a. sanitation worker? They didn't say janitor in the movie. Said sanitation worker. They jumped a janitor when they heard sanitation worker.
And I jumped a plumber, you know, so that's me.
Yeah, I imagine a guy that was like checking valves and stuff and making sure water was flowing, because that's the other half of sanitation is clean water for the, what if you work in water filtration?
Which is why I laugh at that, because Kevin Smith made a reference to that in Clerks. Like, you don't see a stormtrooper plumbing toilets and shit like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, no, that's why I'm confused, is not the portrayal of the roles, is that the reaction to these roles that are incredibly similar in their flow, going by the trailer and their portrayal, the first reaction is, how dare you do that? The second reaction is, nah, it's totally cool. What? 2 months changes a lot of shit. Because
it's
in these
a
circles,
woman,
apparently. No, I'm not even saying that. I know you're joking, but I'm not even saying that. I don't understand how we can flip flop on that issue in 3 months that it was.
I don't know, because like I said, you're getting into realms that I never even conceived of.
A white guy won an Oscar. We're going to burn the thing to the ground, but you know, it's all right because now we did it this way. What?
No, like I said, I didn't even know that the argument you're making about Finn even existed. So
it did. Yeah, or maybe it does, but it did for sure.
All right.
We saw it and we're like, did that just happen?
Yeah, it was the most ridiculous thing I had ever read in my life.
Well, I think we're at the point in society where everybody's going to find something wrong with something. Just like I'm making the leap that this movie's going to suck just because it's not what I remember from 30 years ago.
And to me, that doesn't matter to me. Because I'm completely open to going to see this, because I enjoy the concept of Ghostbusters as a movie. I don't like the rampant consumerism that appears in that trailer. Like, it looks like they're just hitting beats. Like, we've got this person, we've got this person, we've got this, mm-hmm. we've got these canned jokes.
The trailer was set up, I think, for people like me that have seen the original movie, where we go, oh, look, that person's playing Egon. Oh, mm-hmm. look, that person's playing Spangler.
Yeah.
Tom Pax. You know. Slimers. Ghost.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah.
Right.
And I got that, and I was like, I'm totally with Regina and Ron. Show me something new. I don't want to go mm-hmm. see the same damn movie where you hit the same right. beats. You open this up, you reboot it. Let's get a different vein.
And, yeah. and I think that might be it too. If you're gonna reboot it, and like I said, I think that was my problem with the issue or with the trailer.
My issue with the issue.
Mm-hmm. My issue with the trailer is, like I said, they started out by saying 30 years ago, four scientists saved New York. Now a new team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they immediately go into full-on reboot, like the original never existed. I'm like, pick one.
Which we don't have the appropriate context for that.
That's how the trailer felt
to me. Yes, in the trailer. Now, the movie might be different.
If it's something along the lines of, you know, because the way I had originally heard... Oh, Rhonda's got to go, too.
Sorry, guys. Something's come up.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry. No, I've enjoyed it, though.
That's all right. Is there anything you want to say before you go?
Guacamole.
All right. We're all three assholes, and she'll tell us next month when she listens to the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I'm tweeting it right now.
Which she can find at RadioFubar.com.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Rhonda.
Bud, bye.
No, my... Like I said... If you're going to reboot the thing, reboot it. That's fine.
Burn it to the ground.
But don't give me a trailer that says that this is a continuation of the story and then reboot it.
Overall.
Because the feeling that I got from the trailer right at the beginning is the original Ghostbusters never existed. Right. And these guys are starting a...
Which I think one of the ladies brought it up because it could be an interesting twist with the person making a paranormal device. My only problem with it is they gave you that in the trailer. Now there's no surprise. If you've seen this trailer, now you know.
And the person making the paranormal device is going to end up being Chris Hemsworth, I bet.
Well, whatever. But
yeah,
now you know what one of the biggest. They said it in the trailer like it's a surprise.
It's like,
but they put it in the trailer.
It's like in Terminator Genesis when they ruined that whole setup that John Connor now was the Terminator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the people who wrote that movie and made it, they're like, you fucking blasted out our greatest secret. Why the fuck did you do that?
Or Terminator, well, are you talking about the most recent one?
Yeah, Terminator Genesis, yeah.
Terminator, no, is that Genesis?
That's Genesis, yeah.
I thought the fourth one is Genesis. Right. No, that's Salvation.
That's Salvation,
they did
yeah.
the same thing in Salvation where yeah. they did it with the dude that was actually like half Terminator.
Yeah.
Like the biggest reveal of the movie that happens like 2/3 of the way through the movie.
He's a cyborg. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's there to give John Connor. Nope. Just go with it because they ruin it in the trailer.
I have not seen Genesis, so.
It's not Genesis, it's Salvation.
The fourth one.
Yeah.
Is that the one where they end up in the bunker in the end?
No.
What? No, that's no.
That's the third one.
Then I probably haven't seen the fourth one.
Yeah. The fourth one, they ruin it in the trailer.
Yeah.
That's what you need to know.
Okay.
They ruin one of the biggest reveals of the entire movie. Actually, they ruined the end, too, with Helena Bonham Carter in the trailer.
Yep.
Now that I think about it, they ruined, like, big three surprises in the trailer.
Yeah.
Ruined.
Right. Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest problems I have with this trailer. It's like, oh, so a guy's making a red box.
I honestly think that might be my biggest problem with this movie, is that I don't know if it's a reboot or a continuation.
Yeah.
They're not clear.
Yeah, no, it's completely unclear, and I just get this feeling that it's like, well, we need to make Ghostbusters. We can't get Sam Raimi to write it or any of the original guys, so let's just go ahead and revamp it, rewrite it, and we'll shove some people in there.
Which would be fine, but you can't reference the original movie and then make it seem like this is a continuation.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with him.
And then full on reboot it like the original never existed.
I absolutely agree.
I think I'm misunderstanding actually. Because Star Wars did it. But no, they're faithful to the the cast and everything, they're still there.
Yeah.
Which it says in the IMDb page that Bill Murray and What's-His-Face and What's-His-Face, they're gonna be in there. They didn't say the role.
Right.
They said they're in there. And so...
Right, because my impression was, from what I originally heard, like, there's, like, Ghostbuster teams all over the world now.
Mm-hmm.
That like, they're franchises of the original, you know, from...
Which would have been a hilarious concept.
Right. And that's my impression. That was my impression of it. But then this fucking trailer comes out. And just the way...
Exorcisms in 30 minutes or less, or it's free.
Right. Yeah. like, just embrace it that it's become a corporate fucking thing. Yeah. Which, no, that's which would funny. Be fine. Right. That's funny.
But the way this trailer played, to me... was that the original Ghostbusters never
Holy
existed.
Holy crap, we just wrote a better movie, I think. Because then, like, what if there's, like, corporate headquarters in New York?
Yeah.
And then this
and
is...
And that was firehouse, my... The whole firehouse!
No. There's, like, this big building in New York with a bunch of schmloes and shoots worried about profits. And these chicks find out about this huge paranormal explosion that's going to happen. But the guys upstairs, they don't actually believe in ghosts. They believe in the money that's being generated
by it.
And
that was my impression.
And so they're going to, like... The mayor's office is now in the business office in the sky, and they have to go and convince them to, like, let them do their jobs.
Yeah,
they could have had this whole, like, counter Wall Street
which would have brought back the original Ghostbusters.
It's right after the Occupy Wall Street movement and everything. Businesses are bad.
And that was my impression.
Whole entire redesign of the argument when they go into the mayor's office to convince them.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Except this time you would have had the four girls in with, like, Murray and Aykroyd.
You could even still have the dude making a paranormal advice because he's a member of the board.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All right. Dinner's ready, guys.
All right.
One at a time. Go up and get some pork chops.
Okay.
All right. But no, I mean, that was my impression, that it was going to be one of those where, like, there was a, like this was a franchise of the original.
Yeah. I like the way that plays out because that's just.
You get a lot of notes with that.
But the way the trailer played out to me...
That's not the way it was at all, yeah.
...is that there was never any original Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to reference them because...
We got to hook them in there somehow.
Because we want the people that saw the original Ghostbusters to come see our movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, just from the minuscule conversation you got at the very beginning of the trailer, I got the impression that they're just starting this up from scratch on their own.
Yeah.
Now, that could be the wrong impression. It very well could be where I'm...
Which again, we go back to the fact that if they're trying to hook you in by saying, hey, you remember Ghostbusters? Come watch this Ghostbusters movie. That's not the trailer that they fucking did.
Right.
And they shouldn't have put that at the beginning. I absolutely agree with you on that. It's a shitty fucking trailer. Because there's five of us that watch this thing. And all of us have different issues.
Exactly.
My issue, as I said, my issue is totally this. Like, it feels like a straight money grab to me. And you didn't pay attention to any of the things
Which
that made it great
would
for
be
the first
fine. Because I'm
if the
be
story
honest with you,
was right,
Star Trek, the reboot, was a damn money grab.
But it was done well.
And
it played. Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Because they just told you, say, we're full on rebooting this bitch. You know. Oh. Baby made pork chops and pasta salad.
Oh, sweet.
I'm assuming Pete's probably making you a plate. You know, we'll get to eat for the last 50 minutes of the show. No. But I think the thing they're going to run into is that this is one of those movies. This is. I think we're sick of Hollywood saying, let's dust off shit we did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
The thing is that...
Have they made anything really original?
No. Not.
I think the biggest grossing movies of all time have been sequels and reboots.
Recently, yes. Recently, yeah. And the thing is that Hollywood is afraid... To do anything original. Mm-hmm. This is actually something that the guys from Half in the Bag brought up, which is the Hollywood is completely, like, they're only doing safe things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also, they also want to create franchises. Not just singular good movies, but they want multi, they've seen what Marvel did with creating multi-tiered, multiple different right. shared universes, and that's the in thing to do. And then they did, and then Disney did it again with Star Wars.
Right. But at least Star Wars was the continuation of the story.
Fair. Right.
And I think that's the big...
It plays again, better that way, yeah.
Again, like I said, I don't know. Is this a continuation? Is it a reboot?
And you don't get, and you don't know. you don't fucking get that in the trailer. That's
told me both ways in this.
And everybody's sitting there confused.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with that. I absolutely agree with
that. But now imagine if they had come out with Episode 7 of Star Wars, and instead of being a continuation of the story, they said, nope, we're flat on rebooting the entire Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'd have been a mass fucking riot.
And I think that's the feeling that I'm getting from Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, Ghostbusters 2... suck balls.
I actually like that one.
It's an enjoyable movie, but compared to the first one.
I'll give you that, yeah. Yeah.
It sucked.
Absolutely.
You want to talk about money grab movies? Ghostbusters 2 was a money grab movie. Busters. Nope. 25, great. Hold on. No. Go back. Oh, God, I hate my slow-ass computer. Ding, 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 ding. But... oh, well.
They suck in the guts, guys, with the Ghostbusters. Sorry we had to hose you there, but you were kind of out of control.
Tell them about the Twinkie.
What about the Twinkie? You could accept the fact that this city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave. Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
You have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Heat them up.
Do. Ray.
Egon.
Fuck off, Egon.
It's like, I just love the look that he gave, too. Just like,
that's great.
Yeah, like, I got something.
I know
fantastic.
What I did. Pause. I know what I did.
Can you move? Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Wonder what?
Whether she's naked under that toga. She's French. You know that. Are you, Alice, menstruating right now?
What has that got to do with it?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Let's see what happens when we take away the puppy.
You know, it's just occurred to me we really haven't had a completely successful test of this equipment.
I blame myself.
No sense worrying about it now. Why, literally, each of us is wearing an unlicensed nuclear accelerator on his back.
Gozer the Gozerian! Good evening. As a duly designated representative of the city, county, and state of New York, I order you to cease any and all supernatural activity and return forthwith to your place of origin or to the nearest convenient parallel dimension.
Nearest
convenient. Thanks very much, Ray.
Let's show this prehistoric bitch how we do things downtown.
Of course not. And that is the whole problem with aliens, is you just can't trust them. Occasionally you meet a nice one. Starman. E.T., but usually they turn out to be some kind of big lizard.
Hey, what? You boneheads are going to come and rouse me out again? I got 3,000 phones out in Greenwich Village.
I got about 8 million miles of cable I gotta check. You gonna come and shake my monkey tree again?
What are you talking about, buddy? The phone lines are over there.
What did I say to you?
Your phone lines are over there.
Hey,
what did I say? Hey. How many times?
Hey, you're not with Con Ed or the phone company. We checked. So tell me another one.
I got a major gas leak here. The sky?
Ray, we'd like to shoot the monster. Could you move, please?
The best part about that is like when he's like, he's got him dead to rights and he goes back into
it. Serious metal fatigue in all the load-bearing members. The wiring is substandard. It's completely inadequate for our power needs. And the neighborhood is like a demilitarized zone.
Yeah.
Two in the box.
Ready to go.
We be fast and
they be slow.
Wow.
You think there's a connection between this Viggo character and the... slime?
The pink slime.
It's atomic weight of cobalt, 58.9.
Tell you what, I'll take Miss Barrett back to her apartment and check her out.
That's one of those where you got to pause it and look it up on Google and go, yep, yeah, it is.
It is, yep. I'm just going to take his word for it, because if they wrote the joke, I'm going to assume what if he was saying no?
Hey.
Oh.
Hold it. Now, we're actually going to go before a federal judge and say that some moldy Babylonian god is going to drop in on Central Park West and start tearing up the city?
Sumerian, not Babylonian.
Yeah, big difference.
Hey, but after dinner, don't put any of those old cheap moves on me.
No.
It's different.
I have all new cheap moves.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Hello? Hello?
Hey! Hello?
Fuck you.
Okay, I'm out of here.
Run away!
Until the power grid was shut off by Dickless here.
They caused an explosion.
Is this true? Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
Yeah.
Now they're stealing from both.
From one and two, yeah.
Right.
We're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only Ghostbusters!
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night?
they're commercial.
Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic?
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost? If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
There are some things in this world that go way beyond human understanding. Things that cannot be explained. Things that most people don't want to know about. That is where we come in.
So what you're saying is that the world of the supernatural is your exclusive province?
Kitten, I think what I'm saying is that sometimes shit happens, someone has to deal with it, and who are you going to call?
Yeah. Professional paranormal investigations and eliminations. The franchise rights alone will make us rich beyond our wildest.
There!
Hey, does this pole still work?
Wow. It was set up in the original.
This place is great! When can we move in? You've got to try this pole. I'm going to get my stuff.
Slinky? This movie doesn't work without Dan Aykroyd. Like,
but I straightened it.
Because he's he's the straight man through the whole entire thing. No. No,
believe it or not, I think.
Please tell the court Winston? Why it is that your co-defendants took it upon yourselves.
No, like I said, Winston's the Greek choir.
Okay. In the middle of First Avenue.
Bill Murray is the straight man.
Yeah,
okay.
Believe it or not,
it's true.
Bill
yes.
Murray is the straight man.
The straight man is the one that has an there's idiot next to him that he gets to make fun off of.
Okay, I got gotcha. You.
Don't cross the
Ray
streets.
Was the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It would be bad.
Egon was the nerd good, bad, that was so high on the autism bad. Spectrum he try might break it.
I got gotcha. You.
So he was the socially awkward one. Then you had the guy that was like dumb as a kid, and you had the Greek choir to make jokes around, but not at. You never want to direct your jokes at the Greek choir, because then you're technically breaking the fourth wall, but not really.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. It's just like R2-D2 and C-3PO in the original trilogy. Yeah. Or the Greek choir for Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
What?
Don't cross the streams.
Why?
It would be bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good-bad thing. What do you mean bad?
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Total protonic reversal.
All right, that's bad. Okay. All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
The roller carpet in Moldavia.
Bit of a sissy, isn't he?
Hey, where'd the stairs go?
They go up.
That's a stupid
As I
question.
Explained before, we think the spirit of a 17th century Moldavian.
Which way do stairs go?
In a painting at the Manhattan Museum of Art.
Up or down?
Uh-huh. And are there any other paintings in the museum?
Both. Depends on your perspective. Yeah, but this, where they were standing, there were no downstairs.
Slime flow that's been collecting under the city.
Yes, tell me about the slime.
It's very potent stuff. We made a toaster dance with it.
Toaster.
And a bathtub tried to eat his friend's baby.
A bathtub?
Don't look at me. I think these people are completely nuts.
Winston Zeddemore, Yana. Look, I've only been with the company for a couple of weeks. But I gotta tell you, these things are real. Since I joined these men, I have seen shit that'll turn you white.
What kind of test? Well, we sing to it, and we talk to it, and say supportive, nurturing things to it. You're not sleeping with it, are you, Ray?
Ray.
Ray. Oh, you.
Always the quiet ones.
I feel so funky.
Benjamin, would you get a stool specimen, please?
Business or personal?
Ray, when someone asks you if you're a god,
you say yes!
Oh, you're my number one Christmas boutique gift item.
Right, and the first time somebody gets mad, the toaster could eat their hand.
No. We put a warning label on it. We don't have any liability.
Ow! Ow! How did you ever go for it? The old man-eating toaster.
Get out!
We've taken our own headcount. There seem to be 3 million completely miserable assholes living in the tri-state area.
Oh, please. I beg your pardon, 3,000,001.
Hey.
Do you believe in God?
Never met him.
And what Budgie Brain here doesn't realize is that if we don't do something fast, this whole place is going to blow like a frog on a hot plate.
Ray has gone bye-bye, Egon. What have you got left?
Am I the only one that had a mental image of a frog on hot plate? What is
that? Puss bucket.
I have a radical idea. If the door swings both ways, we could reverse the particle flow through the gate.
How?
We'll cross the streams.
Excuse me, Egon. You said crossing the streams was a bad process. You're going to endanger us. You're going to endanger our client, the nice lady who paid us in advance before she became a dog.
Not necessarily. There's definitely a very slim chance we'll survive.
Here's how you identify the straight man. Whenever you hear someone talking, imagine Pat is in the room and try to pretend when Pat is talking. And you'll be able to pick the straight man.
Come on, baby. Go ahead and knock up some willing hellhound. Otherwise, I'm giving you 3 to get back in that painting where you belong. 1.
2.
All right. Sorry, that
you
was
know,
our...
We were actually talking about this earlier. Well, I talked about it. Frank, I don't think, is that familiar with any of his other material. You've seen Arrested Development?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jason Bateman is the straight man. So he's cracking jokes. He's making jokes, but it's at not other people's expense. It's off material that's kind of handed to him and lobbed up, and then he spikes it
down. Okay, I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is, like, any line that Jason Bateman says in Arrested Development is like, I don't know what I expected. In its own context, is stupid and doesn't. It's not a joke. I don't know what I expected. But then when confronted with Job's dialogue about like not wanting to work or something right before that.
Or
boom.
Who's that? Will Arnett. Who's his character? Is that Job? Or?
That's Job.
That's Job. Yeah.
I've always loved when I was first watching that show, I didn't understand how his name was spelled. So he was on the Segway with G-O-B on the front, and I'm like, who the fuck is Gob? And then they finally said his name. I'm like, oh my God, they spelled Job. G-O-B. They screwed that kid. Also, every time he did a magic trick. With the final countdown playing.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da.
The disappearing boat.
I'm Oscar.com.
Oh, Napier's on things here saying, a part of me really wanted to like the new Ghostbusters movie. Kind of a shame.
That oh, shit. Napier's listening?
Well, I don't know if he's listening.
Who's Napier?
Well, the guy from
Will Barrel Full of Dicks. Kind of a shame that's not going to work out. Holy hell, that trailer was bad. Mike says that Leslie Jones just yells all the time.
Yes, she does. Is that in relation to what we're talking about? Because, yeah, that's what... These are three A class. I'm like, if that's their A game, I don't want to see the B. No offense. Anchor, if you find them funny, you find them funny, but...
Anchor says Kristen Wiig is very attractive.
I would be willing to actually give Amy Schumer... the funny note before I gave it to Kristen Wiig.
Yes.
Or the other two Saturday Night Live stars. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Napier says if that was someone's best effort to oversell that movie, then I don't see how it gets better than the crap show. Kristen Wiig notwithstanding. And then Mike just says, I just don't understand why she yells so much.
I just don't understand why she yells so. Yeah, exactly. Why is she a loud, fat, sassy black lady that screams about the devil? Why is she that? I mean, do what you want with your movie, but...
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Right.
I just think it's going to be piss-poor writing. It's not going to... Don't get me wrong.
I think you're going to go see it because you're nervous to disagree with us because you want to go see it because it's Ghostbusters.
No,
I still kind of want to go see it.
I want to go see it even if it's bad. No, I actually, when I first saw that they were rebooting the Ghostbusters, I was like, I had the exact same reaction as Frank, which is, I don't think that's going to be good because I don't know if there's any way you can actually write this movie without those four guys and one of them's dead and the other three won't do it.
Right.
I don't know. I don't see any path to actually make a decent, entertaining movie that is an homage to the old one and is also presenting a new story. Like, I didn't see it.
Right, and I think that might be part of the problem, at least from what we're seeing from the trailers. They're not really telling you a new story. They're just kind of it's another Ghostbusters origin story.
Yeah,
like Ghostbusters 1 was, but at least in Ghostbusters 1, the origin story took 10 minutes.
Can we actually talk about the Suicide Squad trailers?
Because I actually want you to see them. I have not seen any of the Suicide Squad trailers.
I'd like you to watch the first one they released, say first trailer on YouTube, and then the most recent, well, I don't know if it's the most recent anymore.
You talk about the one with Queen?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just trying not to spoil it.
You mean Queen isn't like the band Queen?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you remember what they did with the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer a little bit? They had Ooga Chaka Ooga Ooga. And it was
worked.
That, and it kind of worked because they synced it up to like hitting in the movie and everything, but they didn't make that the whole fucking trailer.
Yeah.
So watch the first Suicide Squad trailer and you're like, oh wow. Do you know about the Suicide Squad in comics? Can I introduce you to that? Okay. It's the concept of villains. No, that's the second
that's
one.
The second
that's just trailer number one.
No, they're lying. There's the first one.
It might be a teaser trailer that you're looking for.
It was full length.
It was a full length?
It was like over a minute. It's a full length trailer.
No, that's what's showing up as trailer number one.
First trailer, maybe?
Well,
are they really trying to cover up the first trailer now?
That's possible. Type in Suicide Squad
trailer. And that's what's showing up as trailer number two, but they're all three different.
Hold on. I'll try to back you up a bit here.
trailer number. Like I said, there's three different versions of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. People got really impressed by it. Very.
The Comic-Con trailer?
Possibly?
Yes. Yes, that is the one.
Because Comic-Con's in the summer.
Yeah. And it got released last summer.
It's taken some work, but I finally have them. The worst of the worst.
This one?
Yeah, this is it.
Listen, absorb it.
No, I'm saying this is the one that you wanted.
Yes.
We're going to listen to both.
Where?
Right, but this is the one that you meant.
No, this is the first one. This was the first trailer they released in relation to this movie.
Some of them have abilities.
Oh, yeah. I have seen things. Maybe Superman was some kind of beacon.
Do you hear that?
Creep back from the shadows.
Calling into the Flash a little bit.
I want to assemble a task force of the most dangerous people on the planet who I think can do some good.
Because that's the theme for
They're bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And if anything goes wrong, we blame them. We have built-in deniability.
Yobert.
What makes you think you can control
Eobarthon. Dang it.
Getting people to act against their own self-interest is what I do for a living.
I hate that they're not using the same actors, so you don't know who's who to start off with.
Trust me.
Well, I know who the black woman is.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know
all you need to know is you work for me.
All right, so that's Deadshot.
Will Smith, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we'll get to this.
Okay, then I was wrong.
The next trailer will cover all this, but in a way that's, you'll see.
So that's it, huh?
That's Deadshot.
We're some kind of suicide squad.
Which is canon. Deadshot's the first one that came up with the term.
And Deadshot wasn't your stereotypical bad guy either.
No. Yeah, Floyd Lawton was always the anti-hero style. Right. He was that bad. He was the bad guy, but
he was kind of like the Punisher.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll talk about it in a sec. Yeah. Just keep watching. So they've kind of done what they did with The Dark Knight a little bit. And The Dark Knight Rises, there's the muted audio and then just the soundtrack. The dark kind of orchestra overtone, the slight.
Who's the chick playing Harley?
Margot Robbie. She's very hot.
I'm not going to kill you.
Even beat the hell up with shit on her face, she's still looking. Like the bat. Just the.
I'm just gonna hurt you. Really, really bad.
When I saw this trailer, my immediate reaction is, okay, that's fucking good.
Which, I disagree with you guys in one aspect on Deadshot. In the comics, he was a mercenary with a code. And you're like, that's what we meant. Nope. Let me finish.
No, that's not what
his code was. He followed the money. Yeah. There's actually one time that Batman was about to die to him, but he got out the bat phone or whatever, transferred Floyd Lawton, a.k.a. Deadshot, like twice what they were paying to kill Batman, and Deadshot went, oh, bye.
Right.
Yeah.
It's one of the few times Bruce Wayne ever just said, here's some money, and I fixed the villain problem, because Batman wasn't able to beat him without the money.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I meant by he's kind of like the Punisher. At least what they're showing in this trailer here is that he's not your stereotypical, I'm just bad to be bad.
Yeah.
No, that's what they're going to do.
Type guy.
The whole thing is they're villains forced to be anti-heroes in the Suicide Squad. We all know that. But
but I mean, even Deadshot, just as a regular character, he wasn't necessarily evil. He was bad, but he wasn't
was a mercenary.
Evil
bad. He was amoral. He was,
right.
Yeah.
He did what he was paid to do. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't malice, it was pay me and I'll do it. He's the Brom.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Would you kill a child if I asked you to? That depends. How much are you paying me?
It's yeah.
How much gold is it worth to you to kill a baby? And that scared the crap out of Tyrion because you realize I'm dealing with a completely amoralistic man. Anyway, so now you can watch the second trailer.
You're chaotic neutral right there.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead and watch the second trailer, keeping in mind the theme of the first trailer they released to the public and the nerds.
Let me out of here, Donald, please.
Let me out of here, brother.
Is this just fantasy?
Come on!
Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
Who's the dude with a shit painted on his face?
I don't remember.
El Diablo.
Yeah, El Diablo.
Worst
that's right.
Of the worst. Too late.
Open the gate!
My time is come. Shivers down my spine.
Was this a cheerleading trials?
Hi, boys.
Goodbye, everybody.
Deadshot. Guy shoots people. He's a crocodile. And he eats people. Burns people. You're possessed by a witch. And she's just crazy.
What was that? I should kill everyone and escape? Sorry. The voices. I'm kidding. That's not what they really said.
This is the deal. You're going somewhere.
He got suckered in.
Whoa!
Do something that'll get you killed.
That line is kind of, it's funny. But I totally agree with you.
I can't wait to show you my toys.
Mamma mia, mamma mia. Mamma mia, let me go.
Let's do something fun.
The guy with the beard was Captain Boomerang.
Oh, no.
That was the guy that was on the Flash.
Action, things happening, fun, comedy. I wonder if they're going to show the hot chick doing something really weird in a second.
Seriously, the hell's wrong with you people?
We're bad guys. It's what we do.
Nothing really matters.
So which movie is accurate, or which trailer is accurately depicting what the movie's going to be? One was very somber and showing you these twisted people being forced to do things against their will. And the next trailer, they're all happy and funny and things. Look at the hot chick. She wears her underwear and no legs.
Yep. Now, from what I know of the Suicide Squad, and that's very little.
It's the information from the Arrow and from Arrow and the Flash. Yeah,
they weren't exactly happy to be doing their job.
No, hell no.
They were kind of forced into it. Now,
man, Floyd Lawton had a bomb put in his head.
Well, they all have bombs in their heads.
Yeah.
although I could kind of get Harley Quinn at least doing the fuck it, let's just have fun,
right?
That makes sense.
Because she is just nuts.
Yeah.
that was her thing. She's fucking nuts.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, now if you think about it, really even in that trailer, the only one really looking like they're having fun was Harley.
But they really wanted to sell you the fact that this movie's going to be fun.
Right.
Just like Guardians of the Galaxy. Remember that ensemble cast of unlikely heroes?
Yeah.
They were forced to save the galaxy?
Yeah, they weren't forced.
How about classic music? Do you like that thing too?
Right.
Yeah, this when I watched this trailer, I was like, I don't know if I like, cuz I was on board with the Suicide Squad of at least being going to see it from the first one, cuz I'm like,
right,
this is going to be some dark demented shit where the bad guys do bad things and accidentally save the world.
Well, it's just like any other trailer out there. You can take 45 seconds of a movie and make it say whatever you want.
Right.
True.
And I'm agreeing with that. Like I said, which one accurately depicts the movie
to the audience? Know.
Are they trying to tell me that I get the serious Suicide Squad that's about the dark and demented characters? And the jock with his bae 2 feet away also gets the bro, check out that chick story.
That's the thing. They're trying to get as many people in as they can. So they're going to give you both.
Which scares me.
Just like, I'm sure there's probably going to be another Ghostbusters trailer come out.
Oh, yeah. There's usually three before the movie releases. Now, here's the other question that I have for you. Which movie, right next to Man of Steel, which I don't think you've seen yet, and
I have not seen the trailer.
And the three Batman movies, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises, which trailer fits in that universe better? That's the problem I have with this. If they are trying to optimize this movie to appeal to a lot of different audiences.
It should be the first one.
The first one would fit right into that kind of dark, and the Joker being twisted, and where did he go, and
right.
Dead, they're all kind of tormented villains and hero anti-heroes. And right. Then the next one is...
Which would even fit into the what you saw on the TV, the CW verse, I guess.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Now
yeah.
I think you're starting to see where our problem comes with the second trailer. And if that's even close to accurate, is they should not be having this much fun.
They shouldn't be. But like I said, you know, watching it, the second one, the only one that I really saw having fun of the group was Harley.
But that's not the theme.
I know that's not the theme they were trying to get across.
Yeah.
But because I wasn't actually listening to the music, I was actually listening to what they were saying.
Yeah.
And what they were.
Yeah.
And actually watching what they were doing.
Yeah. It's a bad trailer.
It is. The second one.
The second one's a bad trailer. The first one, really good trailer. I was wanting to watch that movie after I saw the first one.
I kind of understand why they picked that particular song, though, because you know the song.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where it's about, you know, Mama just killed a man.
Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah.
Right. So I can kind of get that.
But it's also, what's really big right now?
Right.
Queen. Hey, the next trailer will have Journey on it.
Or Rush, even worse.
Just a small town Quinn. Born and raised in South Gotham. Yeah, we get it. Yeah, you like classic songs and trailers. We get it. We saw that in Guardians of the Galaxy. We kind of saw that in Deadpool, which DMX is kind of...
But at least Guardians of the Galaxy, when they did what they did with the trailer...
It made sense. It made sense in the context movie. Of the movie. Yeah.
And with the soundtrack through the movie, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, because, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy was about this unlikely group that just busted each other's balls.
Yeah. And it was fun, and it never changed that story.
No,
you never got a different understanding of that movie. They showed you what it was in the first trailer with the music. They showed you the plot points of it. They kept it that way. The next trailer showed you the exact same thing. Now, you got a good
Suicide Squad's coming out this summer.
August,
because Batman v Superman is supposed to come out, I think, this month, isn't it?
Next week or the week after that.
That's one I might see in theaters because, again, the trailers haven't shown me a different story for that movie.
Yeah.
These two trailers, I'm seeing two different stories here.
Two
and
different
I don't,
movies.
Yeah, I'm seeing two different movies. I don't know which one I actually want to see. I would still see the second trailer.
I would still see the second movie.
If the first
movie.
Trailer
yeah,
lined up with it.
I would love, it looks like it's going to be a disconnect.
Yeah, tell me what your interpretation is going to be. Well, it's either of these two. But which is it?
But which one is it? Yeah.
Master Wayne.
I kind of dig Jeremy Irons as
on the third floor.
As Alfred.
I drop you off.
I don't think you've seen this trailer yet.
I don't know about what's his name as fucking Lex, though.
Oh, Jesse Eisenberg? No, yeah.
He takes a different interpretation with
just
it.
Just watch.
I do, if it's an interpretation.
Of course, I don't know about Batfleck yet either. Like I said, not because I don't think he can do the Batman part.
My old age, Alfred.
Even you got too old to die young. Not for lack of trying.
This was the only part of the trailer I'm like, why is that the music?
The entire human race. If we believe there's even a 1% chance that he is our enemy, we have to take it as an absolute certainty.
Batman thinking.
Yep.
In the history of the world. God versus man.
Day versus night.
You're psychotic.
a three-syllable word for any thought too big for little minds.
She might agree once I say
it, but you don't have to. I don't think you've ever known a woman like
me. We have an unfair standard of...
Still thinking. I said this 2 years ago when I saw the damn movie. Or when I saw the damn picture.
Do you know the oldest lie in America?
Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
This is a new trailer. They did it with this one, too. They sold it as like an action romp rather than...
Yeah.
The first one was kind of very somber. Wow, they did it twice.
Yeah.
They're trying to rake it. I said it. They're trying to do the... Deadpool's getting attention because he's funny in trailers. Well, it's also because people love Deadpool.
Right.
And that's what Deadpool is. He's funny.
It's DC pivoting off of what they're seeing Marvel do, which is pissing me off.
I will say, they remember when Superman originally came out, the first one, the
Man of Steel?
Was that the first one?
The very first movie? And starring Christopher Reeves?
No, the first one with Ralph, the...
Ruth.
However you
pronounce it. Oh, Brandon Ralph. Yeah.
They pretend that movie doesn't exist.
I hope so.
In this universe, by the way.
But anyway, the new suit that they gave him.
I like it. You don't want?
Not really. I don't like the new bat suit. Mainly because I don't need the fucking headlight eyes.
That's
the Superman fighting. It's a heads up display thing. You'll see it in the movie.
However,
they did it in the comic. It's a head. He doesn't wear it all the time.
That's okay. But I will say the muted Wonder Woman with the brown instead of the
not the
fucking sweet,
not the star spangled glorious lady.
Right.
I like the Superman outfit for one reason. It looks alien.
Yeah.
Brandon Ruth's looked like fucking spandex that was impenetrable. It was like, why did that not go through that?
Right. Yeah, Henry Cavill. I like the new, like, Man of Steel. It was a good movie. I hate.
Yeah.
There was parts
I think
of it.
Everybody hates the very ending.
Well, the Man of Steel, when they tell you it's on the
I don't have a
of,
problem with them destroying the city.
No, that doesn't fucking bother me because that's Superman. He does that all the time.
The reason I'm down with that suit, not to say you're wrong, but just to point out another perspective on it, is when in Man of Steel, when they tell you that's alien fabric, every time you see it, it's so odd for fabric, it reminds you that it's alien material.
Yeah.
It's that's how it survives going through a fucking freight train engine.
Yeah.
That's how it survives.
I get that.
The friction of coming into the Earth's atmosphere.
I get that, but I think it's another one of those preconceived notions of... You know, what I have in my head of Superman. I mean, all the way back to the George Reeves TV show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
No, I'm down with that. Because even in the comics where he has that new suit, it's not textured.
Right.
It's textured in the movie to just give you that visual cue. But it's a different perspective.
But I also kind of like... But that is one thing that I always wondered, like in the movies and shit like that.
Why is his suit not getting ripped the fuck apart? Yeah.
Which would be fine if you could explain it.
Which they
visually But I don't need the visual
it.
Cue.
Really?
It would have been fine for them to say, look, here's your alien super suit.
Well, it was it's what they salvaged out of his pod.
I know, but I don't need...
Well, in
I
the
don't,
new movie, it's given to him by his holographic ghost dad.
Right. I didn't need the visual reminder full time. You know, it'd have been okay for them to, you know, have it in a dry cleaning bag with a sign on it that says from daddy.
Well, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But
again, they're doing it for the layman, so to speak.
I don't hate the suit. I don't like the suit.
Okay.
It's different. It's fine. Every fucking trailer you've seen of Batman in this thus far, he's had the glow in the eyes, and I don't need that.
That's literally the fan service. I'm giving them a pass on that because everybody loved the Superman fighting armor that Batman wore in the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
It was badass. It was cool. It had when Frank Miller drew it by hand, it had like this kind of gothic night quality to it. No, this is just on the paper, not in the movie. Right.
They might, you know.
You know those giant breastplates they wore in the Gothic era and the helmet. It had that kind of...
Well, that's fine, but you could have done without the glow-in-the-dark eyes. Because you're taking away all of your stealth capability if you got glow-in-the-fucking dark.
It's not about stealth.
Yeah. He's fighting Superman. It's not about stealth.
This is the way I have to go toe-to-toe with a man that can punch through a freight train engine. I should be careful.
I love the scene when Batman catches fucking Superman's hand
in the suit.
I'm like, oh! Right.
Yeah, that's another trailer. They actually do it where Batman catches it and Superman's like, wait a minute, I can't just punch through you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you gotta fucking fight me, motherfucker. Right.
I loved it.
But and you Henry Cavill's eyes.
Anyway,
yeah, it's like, shit.
That usually works.
But the whole point of that conversation. The whole point of that conversation is what I'm getting at is of the three new suits, it's the Wonder Woman suit
that's the
change.
Best.
Yeah. That's the best of
absolutely,
the three.
Yeah.
They did that to her in the comics too. It's very, it's not in her like frame in the comics is no longer.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the suit in general. Like I said, you know, cause I grew up on the Linda Carter fucking.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, red, white, and blue Superman lookalike suit.
The only reason I'm mentioning it is now when you see her in the comics, you don't think, duh, she's so hot. You think, wow, she's powerful. Mm-hmm. That's the difference that suit and like the art design made.
Well,
it was
plus
like,
the way
wow.
she looks here too, you know, the Gal Gadot look that she's giving there is the, she's not just, yes, I am very good looking. I don't care that you think that.
Right. There is the only difference that they deviated a little bit in the comic book is Wonder Woman now has almost like, it's a full crown and not just a headband.
Mm-hmm.
But I see why they didn't want to go with that because keeping it above her eyes would be a nightmare.
Right.
Because even in the comic book, she's like, how is she holding that up above her eyebrows?
Right. Or the tiara, the Linda Carter tiara as opposed to the, right.
They did one that looked more like she could throw it in the comics now. Like, that would hurt if it got thrown at me, not...
Especially by an Amazon.
Yeah.
Half God, which I think is what they're going with in his movies, is she's the daughter of Zeus?
I don't know.
I have no
idea. That's the rumor that I had heard, is that they're going that way where she's half God. It's like Zeus came down and fucked...
The lore was she was half Hades. Or Ares? It was half Ares.
Ares, yeah.
Right.
In the actual comic lore. I don't know what they're going to do in the movie.
But anyway,
I'd actually be a little upset if it was Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was kind of the darkness behind her character was she was part Aries. That's why she was so warlike. But no.
Well, Aries would make sense.
What was it? Eisenberg? Yeah. Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah.
I was just talking to Matt during the trailer. Obviously, probably couldn't hear us. We have an unfair standard. Our generation does because we grew up with the Superman animated series and the animated movies that they're doing even up to now.
Yeah.
The voice of Lex Luthor in these animated adventures, I'll hopefully say your name and you recognize it, is Clancy Brown.
I've heard of it. But.
AKA the Kurgan.
From Highlander.
AKA the head guard from the Green... No, not the Green Mile. Shawshank Redemption.
Mm.
The one that was going to throw him off the roof.
Yeah, that's Clancy Brown. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got that big... The demon
fucking
boom.
The dude from... Starship? No, not Starship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
The sergeant.
He's the sergeant that was the corporal or whatever at the end that captured him.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, that's Clancy Brown.
That's Clancy Brown, and he has that big bravado voice.
He was
voice.
The one who did the voice for Lex Luthor in
Which
any of the animated
he
series.
He subdued like the bravado, and it gave you this like calm, gravelly, deep, resonating.
Yeah.
I'm smarter than everyone in the room.
Yeah, yeah. You got arrogance out of it. Yeah.
And so the fan reaction, Jesse Eisenberg, he's a pathetic little wimp, and I'm like, I'm actually going to give it to this because he's an interpretation of a different character. I don't like that. Like, I kind of like the Gene Hackman aspect that he's not physically strong.
Yeah.
He's not, he's kind of demented and twisted, but hyper intelligent. And that's what offends him about Superman is I can't punch through a train. I built the train, motherfucker. Right. Why are you punching through my things?
Mm-hmm. And then, well, that's what I always liked about the Gene Hackman version of Lex Luthor. Is that he knew he was the smartest person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And B, he was just arrogant as fuck about it.
Right. Which is what I hope is absolutely portrayed by Jesse Eisenberg because I kind of get a little bit of like the same character he had when he played Mark Zuckerberg. in The Social Network of like, no, listen to me. Listen, Zuckerberg went the portrayal that he put that Jesse Eisenberg gave Mark Zuckerberg in The Social Network is a very similar thing of like Zuckerberg was like slightly arrogant in that movie, in that portrayal. And like, I kind of get that same CEO style arrogance coming out of Lex Luthor in this portrayal of Lex Luthor from Jesse Eisenberg.
Cause something you probably don't, well, I probably for sure don't know is what one of the things they did in the very, very late 80s issues and in the 90s issues of Superman is they took Lex Luthor from being this on the run criminal. Right,
they made him a CEO type business
and
owner.
Superman right. could take him down and take him to jail, but Lex Luthor's lawyers would have him out in right. a month or two and right. he'd be yeah. doing the same
shit. No, I know about that. And, yeah. and that's fine with taking Lex Luthor in that character. I'm just concerned on if, you know, just like I'm concerned on Affleck pulling off.
Right.
I'm not concerned about Affleck on the Batman side of it. I'm concerned about Affleck on the Bruce Wayne side of it. Mm-hmm.
I think if Jesse Eisenberg can convert the Gene Hackman used car salesman version of Lex Luthor into an like an internet car salesman yeah. Lex Luthor.
Right. Yeah, even, I think it could work.
Even just like a more like a I hate to bring Marvel into it, but like an Obadiah Stane type.
Yeah.
Too confident for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor's confident as fuck.
I know he's, it's, but I
but
mean,
you know what I mean? Just the able to run a full size company and do his shit on the.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I like
that aspect stuff, of you know it. I mean? Yeah. I mean, like the charm that Jeff Bridges
right.
or bro Jeff Bridges had in that role.
Right.
I don't want him to have that charm. I want him to feel sleazy, and just awkward. Like Gene Hackman yeah. did. That's but, like you get slimy listening to his dialogue, yeah. that sort of thing.
In order to hear more, you're going to have to listen either if we decide to do overtime or next week because we're at the end of our 3 hours. So we're out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.